welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Big, exciting show planned for y'all. Pat O'Brien is calling in from the Insider. Ozzy. The Oz Man. Not the Oz Man. A Oz Man. My carpenter buddy, Ozzy Castillo, is going to be in here. He's doing a review of Crash. So he'll do all the... He'll have reviewed all the Oscar movies. So he'll have all that under his belt. And then we'll get his picks later on in the week. So is Waldo in? Richard Jenny. Great comedian Richard Jenny's going to be in studio. And he's a great stand-up. I'm not sure if he's done... I never saw Platypus Man in some of his other TV shows, but I know he's great at stand-up, so he'll be in here later on. We're going to take the Wunderlich test. What is that? That's the NFL football combine test. That's the one that the NFL guys can get, what, from 0 to 50?
Yeah.
Check?
It's like their equivalent of the IQ test. Tests is their aptitude to make judgments on the field and so on and so forth, strategies and such.
Nice shirt, Dave.
Oh, thanks, you.
They've had some famous head cases over the years who have scored in the single digits, and I don't know if any of them have ever really worked out.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about the positions outside of QB, but it's a bad sign, I guess, if you don't score highly as a QB because the offense and the defense is so complicated.
Right.
And Texas QB, Vince Young, who beat USC back in the Rose Bowl in January, he got, the first time he took it was rumored to have gotten a 6, which is apparently below half wit, you know, quarter wit. And he retook it and got 16, which... Ain't top of the class either.
Maybe that was a combined score. Maybe he got a 10. Yes, it's 6. You don't play with a helmet. You play the dunce cap.
So going
what
into
happened
it
to the dunce
end?
Cap? That pointy hat. You know, the dunce cap was also the same cap that the maiden who was waiting to be rescued on the balcony
wore.
Yeah,
right.
Ironically, it didn't have a little veil hanging off of it, but it was the same cap.
Yeah.
Not sure how far you'd get with that cap. I mean, as a maiden who was trying to be rescued. Yeah. Seems clumsy. Imagine jumping on the back of a horse with that thing hanging off your head like a Klansman, waving around low branches. You know what I mean? Trying to make it through some of the castle doorways, which were smaller back then because people were shorter. It's getting clipped on the top of the door jamb. You're having to hold it all the time. I'd probably lose that thing, at least indoors.
Now, but if, as you know, obviously it's not a very good hat to be wearing... It seems like it would be a pretty effective deterrent for bad behavior in the class.
Well,
go sit in the corner with the dunce cap. You probably would think twice before you sassed the teacher again.
Stupid!
Yeah.
You're so stupid!
Do they really need a hat, though? Couldn't we have just done the math? The kid who's facing the wall in the corner on a stool may be the dunce.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Would it be confusing? Like, hey, who do we... Hey, what's that kid... Well, he's not wearing the hat. Well, man, I don't know how he studies. Okay. Well, I didn't know. He's not wearing the dunce cap. Putting him in the corner, putting him on the stool, and having him face the two walls, I'd say, is about enough.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody sued. I'm sure it was some group sued. Like, hey, he happens to be mentally deficient, and you put him in the corner of the class.
Maybe it was some maidens. Alliance or something that was upset over their hat being bastardized this way, turned into a dunce cap. I'll tell you one thing about the dunce cap. It does cheat the wind. I mean, you really, if you get a good lean, if you're running with the dunce, it's a nose cone.
It's like you're like a human Concorde.
Oh, you're on the tarmac at Heathrow. It's beautiful. All right.
I just wanted to make
Rachel.
The argument that instead of wearing a helmet, wait. Never, you know what? Never mind.
Really?
Well, I was just going to say that.
How bad could it have been to jump out of it at 6:04 in the morning, Rachel? Come on, tell us.
I know. I was just thinking that. No, really. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to forget about it.
Okay.
Get the dunce cap.
Bad. Yeah.
Get the dunce cap.
Please, somebody give me a dunce cap.
Maiden Rachel.
I haven't drank my whole caffeine thing this morning.
Get into it.
They call it a caffeine thing. And
we call it coffee out here in the United States.
My brain is apparently just not working this morning. I was trying to say something that I thought was intelligent and just didn't work. So
man was not meant to talk at this hour. I've realized. I come online about 8:45. Speaking of coming online, Sheck was complaining about his bowels before the show started, and
oh, really?
I realized I had a little trouble with my bowels over the weekend, and then Breska admitted he had a little trouble with his. But in general, I realize I can't get my bowels online. I can't get them. I can't get them on my clock. Mm. My brain and my eyes got on the clock. I started waking up at 4:45 in the morning. That happened 2 months ago. The bowels still on the 9:30 a.m. wake up call.
Hmm.
Not working out. I used to work nights. I would get up at 9, you know, go to bed at 2, 2:30 in the evening. I'd wake up at 9, 9:30 in the morning, have myself a nice cup of Joe, and plant myself on the toilet. That was the ritual before I left the house. Now my bowels are all over the map. They can't... literally all over the map. They can't figure out what time
it
is.
You have a lot of maps in your house. It must
be a filthy mess. They're filling a globe. So I'm up at like 5, and I'm like, all right, bowels, here you go. Your time. Time to do your business. And my bowels are like, what? Huh?
Do you just stare at them?
I stare at my bowels. I stare into the bowels of my bowels.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, a watched bowel.
never moves.
Yeah.
I would like to put a dunce cap on my lower intestine. You know, no, I'll tell you what it's like. My bowels are the same as my dog, which is, my dog would sleep on the bed. I would get up at 9 in the morning.
Where is this going?
I'll tell you, it's going somewhere nice. How dare you? I would get up at 9 in the morning, and I would look at the dog, and the dog would give me the look like, all right, Chief, it's time to get going, I guess, and hop off the bed and walk out, and then go do the business out on the lawn. But when I get up at 4:45, the dog looks at me like, are you high? I'm not going anywhere. I got another 4 or 5 hours before I even roll over.
Waking up at this hour is inhuman, sir.
Right. How dare you? Talk to the paw.
This bowel thing, let me tell you, because we were talking about it the other day because you guys were sick, and then I had said that I was lactose intolerant, and then you should get a handicapped parking spot for that.
Yes.
Later that day.
Yes.
I discovered the need for the handicapped parking spot.
Really? What happened?
Well, I was driving in Santa Monica, and it was pouring rain, and I had to go meet someone, and I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
It's coming.
I'm going to S my pants.
Did you eat something that was cheesy or lactose-y?
Well, you know, my stomach, it's on its own thing.
Sensitive?
I don't know. Yeah, it's sensitive. I guess sensitive stomach. There may or may not have been dairy in something that I ate. And I'm like, where? They should have parking spots in front of places like a Starbucks or something like that where, just in case... Like an emergency
brown zone.
Yeah.
What would that placard look like? that's going to be the tough sell.
Well, I was once, as a matter of fact, I was in Prague, Czechoslovakia. I'm a world traveler. Mm-hmm. You may know. Mm-hmm. I was there.
We can't prove that, actually, by the way.
True, but it's a good thing to claim, though, to say you've been around the world twice. Right. You know, but anyway, I've been around this big blue marble, and I've learned a thing or two.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so. I had to make in the worst way, you know, and it wasn't going to be the good kind either. It was the mess.
Right.
And I was literally, I said, I'll catch up with you guys later to my chums. I said, I got to find a toilet. I'm running through the streets of Czechoslovakia trying to get into businesses and such. Finally, I go into this paper place, and there are two old ladies in this place. It's a Kinko's, you know, a third world version of Kinko's back in the, like, 90 or so. And I go to these women, and they don't speak a lick of English. I'm like, bathroom? Can I, you know, do you have a toilet bathroom? They have no idea what I'm saying. So I have to, like, I'm patting my stomach now, like, stomach, and they still no idea. So now, to these two old ladies, I'm now patting my stomach, and I'm squatting down on, like, and with my hand making the motion of, poop.
Diarrhea.
Yeah. And they waved me over and showed me their toilet in the nick of time.
And that's where
it always is.
And that's where he met the gimp.
I don't ever want to relive those 2.5 hours again.
I don't want to bring it up on the air if you're not comfortable with it. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Well, there's a couple things. One is, and if you live in Los Angeles, you're really screwed, because if you live in other parts of the country, especially those red states, you could pull over, pull over to 7-Eleven, they'll wave you right in. Yeah, no, come on in, use the toilet. But you could probably knock on someone's door You know, you could be in Mississippi and knock on Britney Spears' mom's door, and she'd probably let you ride in to make business in her house. Here, all the gas stations, all the convenience stores, it's like, hey, can I? No, cannot. You know, you have to buy a set of tires to go number one at the bathroom. Like, you're talking to this steely-eyed evil foreigner through the 6 inches of Lexan plastic, and he's yelling at, this is not the fourth, no, cannot. I mean, there's really, if you think about it, and that's the real tragedy, there, you know, people always talk about how places are now open on weekends. You know, used to be places would close on a Sunday. But here's what we need to focus on. No place to crap anymore. It used to be when you were a kid, especially growing up around here, and I imagine things have remained a little more of the same in other parts of the country, but around here, you just drive around, you just go to the gas, you pull over at the supermarket, the gas station, the liquor store, your dad would come in, a son, a boy's got to use the, and they'd usher you right into the back. No way is that happening. You're kind of on your own. You gotta work it out.
Yeah, I relate it to that point. Where if you're going to go you just know it's going to happen,
right.
It's almost like a state of calm comes over you, like you're about to drown.
Yeah.
You know, people who say they're going to drown. It's like, no, I just became calm. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. I've accepted right now that I'm going to.
I blame, I hate the owners of these establishments that don't let you use it, but it is also the fault of the folks that thought it would be a good idea to vandalize the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Pops, can I use your bathroom? Yeah, sure, it's in the bathroom. Okay. Get the sledgehammer out. Let's take it to the sink. Really? Can't just take a dump and leave? You have to urinate all over the paper towel roll and then take an awl and scratch your initials into the stall door.
Yeah, that's really
at the man.
That's one that affects us all. First off, I'm not sure if... you know, you taking a nail and putting your writing FU, scratching into the stall door exactly makes you James Dean. I'm not sure if that's a romantic crime. Or you just taking a ball peen hammer to the sink and busting the corner off. Or just, you know, like I said, just urinating all over the 3 or 4 rolls that are sort of permanently locked onto the thing. But because you have decided to do that, now none of us can use the bathroom anymore. That's really what happened. Guys started going in there. Guys started going crazy in there. To me, it's a weird impulse to go into a bathroom at a gas station and just start tearing up the joint like it's a honky tonk and I'm drunk. You know?
You're in a filthy public toilet and you say, like, watch this. I'm going to take 10 minutes out of my life. What should I write, though? This is my once in a lifetime opportunity.
It's getting dark. We're on the road. I got 3 buddies in the car. Doesn't matter. I'm taking an extra 15 minutes.
Off. I did it. It's gold. You should see what I wrote. This is the same achievement. The guy who's proud of that achievement, the only thing that rivals that in his life is that the one time he was at a ball game and he started the wave.
Yeah. And you know what, dude? When I come back here next year, I'm going to look at that stall door and I'm going to see primer where those initials were and I'll know that's where they were. Really? This is the whole thing. I am angry at the steely-eyed foreigners who won't let us into the bathroom, but really... the people that decided it would be a great idea to just desecrate it like they were Klansmen at a synagogue, you know? Like, really, can we just, how about you go in, touch as little as possible, and make as little a ripple in the water as possible? You know, just slide in, do your tinkle, wash your hands, and get the F out of Dodge.
Who are these people that do this?
I don't know.
Where are they?
I'd like to hear from anybody if they have what's their best line they ever wrote on a stall. But by the way, the good news is you may have turned me around on this port business with the United Arab Emirates doing this, because you're right, the Middle Eastern guys who run the gas stations, they don't let anybody in.
That tight security.
My job, yeah.
Listen, if you do get in, first off, the key is on the pass is a truck rim. You have to drag the truck rim over there. Yeah, hold on a second.
It's a Yugo.
Yeah, Daniel?
Yes, sir.
You crapped in your pants at a Denny's?
It was actually in the car, and the first place I could stop at Denny's, because they're always advertising, they're always open.
Never made
and
it
so,
in. Huh?
Did you have a feeling of calm come over you before it happened?
No, actually, I just had a feeling of panic, warmth, and calm.
And then warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really warm. And I walked into Denny's, had an extra bag of clothes with me, and went and changed myself at Denny's and left everything there, though. I didn't really want to walk back out with a pair of crappy pants.
Why did you have an extra bag of clothes with you?
We were staying. I was a chauffeur for cheerleading in high school, and it was a car full of cheerleaders, and I crapped my pants.
Wow!
Oh, couldn't think of a worse time to crap your pants.
Yeah.
No.
Cheerleader chauffeur sounds like an '80s movie. I may have masturbated.
Starring Patrick Dempsey.
That's right. All right. Well, good times.
Yes, it was. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Hobo power.
I'm just. There is a quick hobo power story here, by the way, Greg.
Yeah.
You got a little hobo power story for us?
Oh, yeah, I got a hobo power story. I was working down in Ajo, California, or Arizona, actually, mm-hmm. right by the border where, you know, we got the highest aid capital. It is not good.
Well,
all
AIDS,
the poop that goes into from the porta-potties and everything accumulates into this little pond, where in which I have to go make repairs on the pond with poop and everything floating. And, well, I'm allergic to neoprene. My protective suit that I was wearing, I end up taking off my protective suit once I get done doing the repairs, and I still got this funk under my fingernails, not realizing it. Mm-hmm. And I get a scratch, and I end up with a rash over 90% of my body, over my ears, over my eyes, my lips, and...
Yeah.
What is that rate?
Well, you know, it's tough. Again, you have extenuating circumstances. I feel bad for the rash, but I can't factor it in. It's a court of law. I can only go stink. Hobo power is a measurement of stink, and I can only go hobo power.
Not admissible.
On this.
Right.
Sorry. Again, my heart goes out to you, but my gavel does not. That's the name of my
penis.
The pond
alone, I mean.
The pond is good. It was outdoors. What month was it, sir?
It was during the summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was probably about 110, 112 out. It was nice and toasty. It was warm.
All right. Listen, I'm going to give you a 29 because I'm feeling generous this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I'll send you out a windbreaker. All right. Yeah, it really is the fault of the people that thought it would be a good idea just to go nuts in the bathrooms and F it up for the rest of us. And I gotta say, if I owned a business, a liquor store or something like that, and I let somebody use it, and then I came back in there and somebody taken a pipe wrench to the sink and somebody scrawled stuff all over the wall, I'd probably just close the door too and go like, screw you guys. But again, what kind of impulse is that? You know, the impulse to leave the mark, except for it's no mark. Like, here's the thing. Yeah, here's the message. Here's the big message I want to send to society. A lot of folks talk about leaving their mark. A lot of deadbeat dads having kids with 5 or 6 different women who aren't around to raise them. There really is a mentality. It's a third world mentality. It's a retarded mentality, but it's a mentality of, hey man, this is my legacy. I got 9 sons. They all have my first name and they're all here. Yeah, you're not around to take care of them. They're in juvenile hall. Hey, that's my mark. That's my legacy. Or I'm going to go into this bathroom and I'm going to desecrate it. Or I'm going to, you know, I'm going camping. I'm going to leave my 6-pack of spent Lucky Lagers out in the woods. The whole thing about leaving your mark is you're supposed to do it through literature or through volunteer work. You're supposed to maybe have a kitchen device named after you. Don't crap out a bunch of kids and then carve the F word into the stall at the bathroom. That people, like, I think people have gotten confused with this leaving your mark.
Some people just aren't qualified to get on reality TV, and that's how they have to.
I know. I mean, please. I mean, like I said, and just sort of the general, it's just the general graffiti and just sort of effing up stuff for other people. Really? That's who you are? That's you?
You're the guy that F's stuff up for
have
everyone.
Do you have a mirror at home that doesn't have the F word scratched into it that you could look into and just really take a good long look and go, I'm the guy who likes to F it up for other people?
Yes.
And by the way, the guy who would freak out if anyone ever touched my stuff.
Who is this guy?
I want him put into the ground. Call us and we'll put you into the ground.
Listen to that message, children. Do as Adam Carolla says. Don't pee all over toilet seats paper.
Okay.
Pee in the sink as he does.
Yeah, but don't tell me you've never peed on a toilet seat just for laughs.
No.
Just for your own laughs.
No.
Come on.
Eric?
Never?
Hey, Adam.
Yes, funniest thing ever written in a porta potty?
Yeah, I want to hear yours. I have one.
Well, mine is the standard arrow pointing to the ass gaskets, which I guess is its own joke. The seat liner saying free cowboy hats. And then the other one that is just written on the outside of the porta potty that says Mexican space shuttle. Those are my two favorites. Yeah.
I got one I think may top it. You know how some of them have the toilet paper roll in, little box inside. It said free Mexican baby pictures, wipe to develop.
That is, I'm offended. I'm angry. How dare you? Yeah, you see, construction guys are all racist, which is funny. Which ironic, because if you work construction in this city, it's you and nine Mexicans. So I'm sure they appreciate that. But I guess those folks have a sense of humor. Maybe we'll ask Ozzy when he comes in.
And he's not even Mexican.
No, but that's all right. We look at him as one. Honorary. We'll take a quick break. Pat O'Brien is coming up. Ozzy's doing his review. All that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM.
Big Cat in studio or on studio.
How you doing?
Clay?
Yes, sir.
You want to know what the worst case of vandalism I've ever seen on a job site is?
Yeah, I mean, I have a tree company out in Phoenix.
All right. I'll tell you. It's my story. Somebody broke into my house when I was rebuilding it a few years back, stole every tool, and defecated in the bathtub upstairs. When you steal a man's tools and then defecate into his bathtub.
Somebody's got it out there.
Yeah, that's rape. That's literally. It's literally rape.
I think he said Ray.
No, I think he said it was Ray.
Oh, Ray. Yeah. Well, no, that's the same. It's the Latin for Ray. Ray is Ray. That's my buddy Ray. All right, Big Tad.
Yeah.
Reason you're in studio is because you're going to audition for The Biggest Loser on Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
We're going to do it in studio.
I'm so looking forward to this, too.
Yeah, we are, too. And if you make the TV show, then, you know, we'll shed a tear saying goodbye, but we're keep up with you on a weekly basis.
We were just talking.
Biggest Loser.
And we were just talking about making your mark in the world, you know, in the world. This would be, actually, this would be, in your case, a crater. But still.
You can make your mark.
I can't wait till I lose the weight and I can literally chase you down and kick your ass.
I'm going to enjoy watching that.
I'm not going to hold my breath until that day comes.
All right, so, Tad, that'll be on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And the producers are coming in?
Producers and casting
folks
casting,
coming in.
Yeah.
Well, why not get a big celebrity on the show?
Hey, I've been wanting to go, do this show for a while.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I mean,
what stopped you from trying out?
I was too lazy to put in a tape.
Right.
All right. Yeah, so. But that's, I would argue that's who they're looking for, ironically.
So perfect.
All right,
I promise
Ted.
You'll cry. If you'll cry, I'm sure you'll get on the show.
He's going to try and have sex with that hot trainer they have on the show.
That's my goal.
I feel like everybody wants
I don't
that.
Need prizes. I just need her.
Okay.
So.
All right, Ted.
Okay.
All right, Tuesday.
Sweet.
Christian?
Yep.
You're a comedian?
Yes.
You're a 13-year-old comedian?
Uh-huh.
You have a joke ready for us?
I do.
Now, we spoke to Christian a few weeks back, and we told him, well, instead of telling us jokes, why don't you do a little comedy, do a little slice of life comedy for us. And so far, it's worked out pretty good.
The material gets better and better each week.
Talked about gym coaches and playing Monopoly with your sister. What do you have for us this week?
This week, I have one on fairy tales.
Oh, okay.
The other day, I saw my 5-year-old cousin being read a fairy tale by his mom. When he fell asleep, I asked her why she read him those stories. She told me that she wanted a good influence to rub off on him. I told her it's not their influence that bothers me, it's their intelligence. What kind of idiot breaks into a bear's hut, steals their food, uses their furniture, and then sleeps there?
True.
What was the thought process? I'm real tired, but they're just bears. Jack and the Beanstalk, on the other hand, has a good moral, because very few parents sit down and talk to the kids about the everyday dangers of magical beans. Peer pressure's everywhere. Little Red Riding Hood, Grandma doesn't have a plastic surgeon and things don't just grow. She said, Grandma, what big eyes, ears, and teeth you have. And you think once she'd mention that Grandma was covered in hair.
Yeah.
Grandma, what a mighty fine beard you have. All the better to have you wax, my dear.
Wow. Is that the act, Christian?
That's it, yeah.
Solid.
Dynamite. Really nice. I thought the bear material in particular was dynamite.
Yeah.
100 times better than anything I got, that's for sure.
Well, thank you.
Solid, Christian.
You know, you've been telling me that if I get, you know, you want me to get like 4 to 5 minutes together, and mm-hmm. I'm going to attempt to do that next week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to...
All right.
I'm not going to promise it because I'm not sure how it's going to go, but if I don't, I'll get a short one again, but I'm going to start writing the big one.
All right. Just promise me you're not going to end up out here bitter in Los Angeles up on the Club Largo stage between Sarah Silverman and Margaret Cho with a notebook going through papers, bad frames on your glasses, and doing that avant-garde kind of comedy.
All right, I promise.
All right. I want you to keep...
for the bad glasses part, I got pretty nasty glasses, actually.
Oh, okay. All right, that's good. I'll let you
Can't
slide
wait
on
to
that.
Meet Christian.
Yeah. All right,
so
Christian,
he's
gonna
get
nice
a set,
work.
Though.
Get a set, yeah. Get a set going.
Before I leave, though, is there... what's the advice you guys have for me? What would you improve on?
Wow. Tough. It's tough to be tough on a 13-year-old that's funnier than most of the guys I hang out with or getting paid to do comedy. I think you're on the right track. Now, I can tell you're writing it down and repeating it back to us off the written page. How about this for your next challenge? Write down just the beats, the bullet points, just the headlines, and then get comfortable with the material, because when you go out on stage, you're not going to be able to bring your notebook with you unless you go to Largo and stand with the
comedians. I just plan on memorizing them, but just every once in a while I'll change it, and I just can't get used to them.
All right, but listen, Christian, instead of memorizing it like it's a song, just know the ideas, the funny ideas. Where you want to go, let your mind... that way you can have room to improvise within the joke if you know what the joke is. So instead of just memorizing all the text of the joke, know what the joke is supposed to be, know the big beats and the broad strokes, and then free yourself up just to tell the joke.
All right.
You know what we saying? Should do? How about this? We should have, when Christian comes out here, as soon as he hones this material, and I have to say he's getting close, when he comes out here, maybe we could give him an all-star... comedian like Jeffrey Ross or somebody like this. He could get notes from a master.
Yeah. You
know, someone like this.
Do you know who Jeff Ross is?
No, I don't.
Okay. I hope he's listening so he kills himself. All right, Jerry. I mean, Christian, hang on.
All right.
That's nice work. All right, we're going to keep working on this act. We'll bring him out. We'll have him do a set.
I hope this inspires other young comedians under the age of 18 to call in with their jokes as well.
It would be nice. We could have a up-and-coming celebrity young comedian
Get rid of this dumb school that the man wants you to be worried about all the time. Focus on the craft of comedy, yes?
Yes. Jared?
Yeah.
Very quickly, saw something funny in a porta-potty?
Yeah, it was in a bathroom stall. It was on the condom machine.
Mm-hmm.
It said, for refund, insert baby here.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, not all forms of... Sometimes it falls under the heading of art or satire or something. Not too bad. All right, so we have free cowboy hats over the ass coasters in the Port-a-Johns. We have the Mexican space shuttle. We also have the list over the toilet paper that says free Mexican baby pictures, wipe to develop. It's bumpy, but I got the idea. And it'll work for any nationality, by the way. Although, I guess if you have darker skin, it'll work better, depending on what you eat. And now the condom machine. All right, we'll take a break. Pat O'Brien is waiting, and we'll talk to him next.
Call now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Pat O'Brien is on the phone. Let me just talk to Steve real quick. Steve?
Hey, how you doing?
You got caught vandalizing a bathroom?
Yes, I did.
Yeah? What happened?
We were living in Visalia. I was about 13 or 14 years old. And my friends decided to start a little club where, you know, we'd start doing things, you know, crazy stuff. You know?
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me to go into this bathroom and start vandalizing it. And so we did, and we didn't get caught. One day we went to a Sizzler's restaurant, and I'm in the bathroom. I'm vandalizing stuff. I'm busting the sink. Got a little hammer with me. I'm breaking stuff.
You see?
Actually, yes. And I went into the bathroom part where the toilet is, and I started messing with the toilet. And right about the point I pulled the plunger thing from the toilet, somebody grabbed me from behind. That was a security guard. And I got caught.
Good.
And, well, I guess it's good now. You know, I think about it. I'm 20 now, so.
How old were you then? Good
that I was 13
I was,
or 14.
13 or 14.
Yeah, that means 16, by the way. Look, it's one thing, you know, it's one thing to do a little tinkle on the seats. Another thing, take a hammer to stuff. I listen, I just hope all you people catch herpes from a toilet seat. That should be your punishment for this. You've ruined it for all of us. Now no bathrooms are open, and we all have to do like Rachel Perry and defecate into our sundresses. I mean, you know, during the summertime when I wear mine. Pat?
What level of rage do you have to have?
To take a hammer to
take a
toilet?
And just have all your emotions go into breaking up a bath. I think I've been in some of those bathrooms.
I know. It is funny when you're washing your hands and half the sink is gone.
Yeah.
Water's just coming down. Yeah, I don't know. I would
No one's ever said to me, go in and vandalize that bathroom.
Well, you were a good boy. You were poor, but you were proud, Pat O'Brien.
What did I do, though? We used to do... This is not in South Dakota, is it?
No.
I guess the statute of limitations would be over by now.
Yes.
We used to throw watermelons on people's driveways. That was the extent of the good times out there in Sioux Falls.
Crazy.
Now, how did you
ever see a watermelon? You ever see a watermelon break and just it just takes forever to clean it up?
Mm. Well, I've seen.
We thought that was good, clean fun.
Yeah, that is. I saw Day of the Jackal where he shot it with his assassin's rifle and it
right.
blew up. Those were
mm-hmm.
big effects in the 70s. So I know the kind of damage it can do. Also seen more than one Gallagher concert. So
right.
I know the devastating effects.
So, in other words, among the other things that you have expertise in, you have great watermelon knowledge.
I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I'm sure as hell no novice.
It, by the way, was the 2005 Fruit of the Year.
Oh, yeah. Dave Damashek's Fruit of the Year.
Do you put salt on watermelon, or do you...
No, I don't do that. I think that's something they do in the South. I don't think they do that out here, putting salt on it.
And have you ever had watermelon pickles?
No, how do you do that?
No, you've got to go to, what store do you go to? There's a couple of good stores in North Hollywood.
Listen, I send my bitch out to fetch the grub. I don't go into stores.
I'm telling you right now, get some watermelon pickles
mm-hmm.
in your pickling, you know, jam.
The deli section, yeah?
Well, no, it's not in the deli. They're right in the jam section.
All right.
They're in the pickle section.
Okay.
Hey, Pat, what happened? You mentioned South Dakota. You're going to be the governor, right? Or you're going to run for governor?
Funny you should mention that. They're calling me now asking me to comment on this abortion law that they passed out there. And the Democrat who was going to run against Governor Rounds in 2008 pulled out of the race because he could only raise $4,000. What does that tell you about the Democratic Party in South Dakota?
Wow. So what do you think? Might you do it?
I've always wanted to do it. We've sidetracked a little bit, but I'm still interested, yeah. I have a lot of support out in South Dakota.
I've
got a place out there. I'm out there a lot, and I love it there. I got to take you out there, Adam. You would love South Dakota.
Would I? Why?
It is just real people.
Oh, that's what I like. We'll go out, get loaded, smash some watermelons.
Yeah, break up some bathrooms. Be good for my run.
Yeah, but only if you get back on the booze, because I'm not going to South Dakota with Pat O'Brien unless we're tilting a few.
That's not going to happen, but you can drink.
All right, you watch me then.
I'll watch you drink.
All right, see how flexible I am.
And I'll take you over to... The Crowbar,
mm-hmm.
which is open 24/7.
Oh.
And at the end of the night, well, it's not 24/7 because this is the point of my story. When they close like at 2:30, 3 in the morning, and they open up at 7:30.
Right.
But it's called the Crowbar, and the last time they serve drinks is called Last Caw.
Oh, that's genius. See?
And one of the great features, by the way, Last Caw at the Crowbar.
Mm, yeah, that is good stuff.
Great radio, huh?
Yeah. Well, medium. Pat, I want to talk a little Oscar with you, because you guys are going to be out on the red carpet covering that.
We'll be inside, as we say, outside, everywhere. I mean, it's a big night, obviously, for our show, and it's a funny Oscars this year, isn't it? Because there's a lot of movies that a lot of people haven't seen. I mean, ABC's challenge this year, it'll get people to watch the 3.5 hours. For a lot of great movies, but they haven't been really, you know, no big, huge blockbuster in all of them.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering, how does it work? I mean, do people watch because of the host, or they watch because it's an extravaganza, or do they watch?
At this point, they watch because it's the Oscars, and ABC does a great job. Their crew does a tremendous job, I've always thought. And then the host comes to play. I mean, I think Jon Stewart is a great choice, and he'll be great. And then they watch the other stars there. I mean, that's why you have all the presenters, and you get all of Hollywood there. So it's a big Hollywood night, regardless of the movies. By the way, all the movies are great. They're just not, you know, big blockbusters.
Does it seem like the whole celebrity thing has gone through the roof in maybe the last 8 months? I mean, it was always nice to be a celebrity, and you're always in the news, but more red carpets, more gift bags,
more
stories, more shows like your own The Insider. Is there just been, in general, you know, more shows dancing with celebrities and, you know, with the stars and skating with celebrities? I mean, has it been more celebrity stuff in the last 6 months than ever before?
It's exponentially by the week. I mean, if you go to a magazine, a good magazine rack that's got a lot of magazines, mm-hmm. there must be 40 celebrity magazines now. I mean, forget People, which is, you know, the top, and Us Weekly and those. You get on In Touch and Style. There's just so many celebrity magazines, and then the tabloids. You cannot believe it.
Right.
All the shows and the Dancing with the Stars and Skating with Celebrities, they're all getting huge ratings, beating the Olympics. People just can't get enough of it.
I know, and I'm trying to figure out.
I'm glad about it, because our ratings show that people watch this stuff every night.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you, it's the easiest kind of show to watch, and I don't mean that in a condescending way, but I mean, sometimes it takes a little energy to watch the evening news, and then other times there are these hour-long dramas and stuff. I'll watch these entertainment shows, especially The Insider. That's the fastest half hour there is.
Adam just wants to do things where he doesn't have to expend any energy.
Right.
Yes.
You want to achieve without...
When people come up to me on the street, they actually use the word, I'm addicted to your show.
Yes.
They say, we can't miss it.
Yeah.
And I go, why? Read a book.
And I'm such a sucker, too, when you do that stuff where it's like, what the hell's her name who's married to... Oh, Kathy Lee. Kathy Lee Gifford abducted in a liquor store? That's coming next. Yes, Kimmel did that. You guys sold that the entire show, and then at the end, it's just a stunt.
Just kidding.
I know, and
April Fools.
I'm sucked in. And then the other news. I like the news like, Brad and Jennifer's mansion, they're taking a bath. They're taking a huge hit. They wanted $29.4 million, and now they've brought it down to $27
million. You are watching The Insider.
Yes, I do. I watch. I get sucked in like, oh, my God, what happened to Brad and Jennifer? Are they on the skids?
Sucked in is the wrong word. You're interested. We make it interesting for you.
I'll compromise and say drawn in.
Here's the other thing that this show has going for it. The Foxes run free around you, Pat. The Foxes are all about Lara Spencer, Mary Hart. She's, you know, old school, but still, you got Vanessa Manillo.
Yeah.
Kojo.
Kojo's a foxy chick. A little heavy set, but I like him that way.
Who's your favorite, Pat? Best look. Because you got to see him in person to really be able to judge. Who's the best?
Well, I'm not going to pick one.
Pick one.
Pat would say himself, but second to you, Pat.
Yeah, look at me. what about me?
I know, pick one. Listen, the camera loves Pat O'Brien.
Manillo's my number one. I think that's... But
Vanessa's by the way, the great thing about them is that they're all very nice and very fun to work with, and I mean that. I mean, they're really... There's no drama.
But who's the hottest?
I might have to go with Kojo on that one, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Someone wants to play Koi today.
Kojo. And how say you about this whole Anna Nicole Smith Supreme Court thing, Pat? What do you think?
Well, the interesting thing about it, if you actually read the articles and get past what she was wearing in court, I mean, the funny thing is to read the bylines, or read the New York Times or USA Today or Washington Post this morning, they all begin with wearing a black knee-length dress.
Yeah.
But really what this case is about is going to change probate laws for years to come. I mean, this is a serious case to decide whether or not the federal government or the state governments decide bankruptcy and probate laws. And we've got Anna Nicole Smith in there deciding it. And all the judges seem to have sided with her on this. So
I think that somebody got to her this time around and told her to quit wearing pumps and tube tops into the court and to go ahead and put some shades on and dress in black. Try to look a little widowy instead of like you're getting ready for spring break. Would you, sweetie? Yeah, because the last time she was in court, she was like licking a giant lollipop and playing with her hair the whole time and trying to rub kissing potion on her face.
No, she played it straight yesterday and the mob scene around her and the chaos. But underlying all that, she at the end of the day, she sat in front of those justices and they're deciding a probate course based probate case based on Anna Nicole Smith.
Well, he married her, and when you marry somebody, this is what happens when you pass away. And also, that's why, you know, people are like, oh, she only married the guy for the money. Yeah. How do you ever see super hot 26-year-old strippers going out with 89-year-old poor guys?
She still married him.
That's what you do. Of course she did it for the money, and this is her payday.
I mean, the law doesn't, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think the law stipulates why you marry somebody.
Right, just you get married and that's it.
Well,
then they die and you get their money.
Why did he marry her? What's the, you know what I mean?
I think...
Well, we don't know that she did that, but that's the...
I think there's a little, yes, we do. I think with him...
No, we don't.
You told me you knew unequivocally off the air. Why did he do it? He did it as probably A, he's old and senile, and B, it's probably nephew to his family. And then C, he figured, what the hell? My son's got enough money. I'm going to have some fun before this whole S house burns down. It's like Jim Morrison.
$1.6 billion. Like, you know, how much money does his son need? Come on. She made the old man happy.
He's fine.
Well, he always need more, right, Adam?
Yes, that's true. And the good news is if she does get all the money, you know she's going to spend it in the right places. You know, little the charity.
She's going to buy
some
best part is,
pairs of sunglasses.
Right.
She had that doof lawyer with her, too. That guy went to the Supreme Court. That's more offensive than Anna Nicole being there, is that guy got to plead his case.
The most disturbing part about the whole thing is they keep showing the picture of her presenting the picture to her ex or deceased husband with her clad in the lingerie on Christmas. It's just her in the red panties. Right? And her son is helping present the picture to the old guy. And her son's 11. Oh, there's going
to
be.
There's always something, huh?
Yeah.
We're never out of material.
Pat, we got to take a break, but God love you for calling
That's
in. That's it.
What's the lesson you learned from this call?
That you're into Lara Spencer.
That you're into Lara Spencer and Kojo, and The Insider is on TVYahoo.com. That we check for times. That's right.
Pickles.
I'll write that down. Pat, look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Adam.
Take care. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Do it right now.
Rainn Wilson is coming in here. He plays a Dwight from The Office. Favorite character from The Office. Great show. I don't have to tell you guys that. Also, Arthur Martin in 6 Feet Under. You remember him from that. Ozzy, you remember from nothing. Maybe the TLC show we did together. He's going to come in here with his Oscar review of Crash, and then he'll have done all the Oscar-nominated movies, and I will have seen none of them. What sort of universe, many years ago when Ozzy and I were working together, swinging a hammer side by side, would you have said, sometime in the future, Ozzy will have seen every Oscar-nominated film, and you'll have seen none? I would have strangled the guy who delivered that news and called him a liar. Who knew? All right, now it is time for the beautiful Rachel Perry and her news.
So Anna Nicole Smith was in court yesterday, dressed, as Pat O'Brien said, in a black knee-length dress. Good for her. I like it when her and Lil' Kim regularly dress like animals. Crazy, showing as much boobies as possible, and then they go to court dressed all nice.
Her first court appearances, she was wearing like culottes and a halter top and chewing gum and popping it. Like, she couldn't have been more annoying, and I'm sure it cost her a few $1 million. So I think somebody coached her and told her to pull it together for 5 minutes of her goddamn life.
And apparently got some sympathy this time around, because one of the justices, Stephen Breyer, says there's evidence that the will was forged in her favor, or I mean, basically he's saying that the son is trying to screw her, but not like Howard Jay was trying to screw her in the other way.
I saw that whole story. You know, I mean, she was out screwing around behind his back, doing her own thing, never around, whatever. He's still stupid enough to marry her, but either way, I don't know. It's sad because legally she deserves all the money, but morally she doesn't deserve anything. And, you know, I let God do my deciding.
God mm-hmm. decide. Mm-hmm. You have a moral compass.
Yes, and it's up God's tokai.
So, Bush, surprise! I'm in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
That's my impression of Bush, by the way. You could tell, right?
Yeah, no, I know you're
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, yeah. He went to Afghanistan this morning to rally the troops.
We want to be here to help Afghanistan grow its democracy and to defeat those who can't stand the thought of freedom.
He says Osama's going to be brought to justice. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah, you know, I was watching him on CNN at 5 this morning, and again, I was watching him sort of fumble his way through a sentence, and then I started thinking about it. Wow, this guy can't string together a sentence. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute, I know what happens. And I'm no big fan of Bush, but he does an hour speech. He flubs up 3 or 4 times in the hour speech, and that's what I see on the news. That's why it seems to me, because I never watched the hour-long speech, that the guy cannot speak without flubbing something up. He can't go 2 syllables without flubbing something up. I think that makes the news. I think we're a little bit, we're steered in that direction.
Well, but listen, the smartest guy in the room doesn't flub something up in every speech. See, this guy is
decent
a halfwit.
Yes.
This guy's a halfwit. As I've said before, the yardstick in my book is this. If I'm smarter than the president, that's bad news.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
We should have him take that that test that we're going to take. That
the Wunderlich test.
I'm so excited about this test, by the way. I'm really looking forward to this.
I am, too. We will be taking it before the day
and whoever
through.
Comes in last has to put the dunce cap on and sit in the corner.
That's right.
We have to actually we should make one. Get Tad. Tad, get on that.
Tad has one in his car.
Speaking of...
From junior high.
Don't let Tad get on anything. It'll be crushed.
The great Tad couldn't make a dunce cap.
Let's take bets on that. Bet he can't spell it. There's a study, speaking of what Americans know, apparently... We all, well, not me because I'm Canadian, but we all know more about The Simpsons than the First Amendment. Most people can name the three, more people can name the three American Idol judges than three First Amendment rights. And 1 in 5 people think that the right to own a pet is protected in the First Amendment.
Well, that's the thing. We're stupid, but we're hustlers. I don't believe that.
Well, what are I mean?
They do that. You know, once in a while they come out with these tests where it's like 89% of Americans believe in fairies. It's like what? What do you mean believe in fairies?
They exist.
I mean fairies that
do you
are
mean
invisible
the
and float
that
float
fall
above
over,
you.
That
not
fall
the
over
cap.
In the
you mean capsize? I'm not sure you're going to do on that test.
I'm going to do terrible. I know all the Simpsons, but I don't know the First Amendment.
I don't either. But here's the point. The point is we don't need to do this. We get that we draft this document, we put it in the Library of Congress, and then we move on to watching American Idol and going to work. That's what this society's about. Not the other societies, they live in the past. They're constantly opening their biblical texts and going through it and all that. Not us. It's all in our rearview mirror. We're going to work every morning.
I'll tell you, there's plenty of things to learn from the TV. I know I'm not telling you anything,
mm-mm.
Ace. I mean, you know, that's my dearest friend, my longest friend, the TV.
Sure.
See, it taught me. I was thinking, is there anyone in America, nay, the civilized world, that doesn't know you shouldn't, if you're on an airplane, shoot a gun? Because if you shoot a gun on an airplane, decompression, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
We all learn things from TV.
From watching James Bond.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Quicksand, your pith helmet's going to be left behind. All these things
sure.
you learn. Hey, guess whose birthday it is today?
Mine?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have to guess at that,
no.
I would assume. But,
okay. Whose?
Roger Daltrey's 62nd birthday.
Oh, whose? Get it?
Yeah. Guess whose birthday is
still
what I was going to say. And you know, you've been saying that you're like, they're not like the Rolling Stones. They don't still tour, blah, blah, blah. They're touring this summer.
No, I didn't say they don't still tour.
Oh, I thought you said that a while ago.
They don't make crappy records constantly like the Rolling Stones.
Right. So. Here's the thing. I got no problem with the Rolling Stones playing their music into their 60s or into their 90s. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. I know it's a real popular joke. Look how old these guys are, and they're still rocking, or they're still playing, or they're still whatever, and who cares? I mean, I don't care. If you're good, you're good. If you're a good accountant, do it until your 90s or quit when you're 20. Doesn't matter to me whether it's accounting or playing rock. I just think The Who is a much better band than the Stones, and the Stones have been hurting their legacy with each tour and each record that comes out since 1974 or something.
I will say, though, that if you're 93 years of age and you're a heart surgeon, please don't do the surgery on me.
That's fine.
Certain professions, let's
I understand
that.
Yeah. Ooh. Do I hate this song? And this song goes on for like 45 minutes. All right, please. Yeah. I'm going to have an epileptic seizure.
This must drive you nuts now, how every new up-and-coming sort of like indie hipster rock band, they all try to be like Mick Jagger. That's the cool new thing. Everybody tries to have that skinny, like, weird haircut, lanky, like...
Yeah.
You got a problem with that? You got a problem with that?
Unless you're in the Bare Naked Ladies, it's never a hip to be heavy set in front of a band.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Mick Jaggering going on.
Yeah, it's just super... It's that heroin chic thing that's always been cool with rock and roll, sort of unkempt and super spindly, and then you put a wristband on and a t-shirt and your skinny arms hang out. Yeah, that's what you do. You don't care. That's the whole thing about rocking. You only care about rocking. You don't care about anything else.
You know what I care about? American Idol. Of course, my pick for the win. Actually, it's getting hard, but I love this girl. Pick Pickler.
Pickler.
I love Kelly. This is her last night singing.
Yeah. I put my pickle in her.
You want something to talk about, Kelly?
She's hot. She's getting hotter.
And
her dad's in the joint, so you know she's weird in bed.
And
she's got to compensate.
And there's a lot of new things that she's learning since joining American Idol.
I had my first spinach salad. It was okay. Kind of tasted like picking a leaf off of a bush. But I tried my first squid. I call that calamari. And I can live without ever eating that again. But I've never seen so many dogs here with clothes. They have like little hats and booties and jackets. They definitely have more clothes than I do.
Makes you want to move to the South, doesn't it?
Well, it does, actually. I mean, I kind of like a world without squid, spinach salad, or dog clothes.
Yeah, I'll go over there, and you move to the South for 5 years, you shake your head like an Etch-a-Sketch, and then you come back into society, you get to try everything. They got one of them horses with four wheels on it, they call them a car, and that thing's one of them picture sets where folks' heads come up, stuff comes out of their mouth. Then they got this stuff called... bread. They bake it in an oven. Yeah.
Anyone else? Anyone else you're a big fan of? You like Paris?
I like Paris, too, yeah.
I like Paris.
She's got that squeaky little voice.
Yeah, let's hear her from last night.
Did you ever know you are my hero?
Whoa.
You're everything I wish I could be.
You know, though, she's a legacy. Her mom sung and her grandma sung, you know.
Yeah, but, lots of people are, like, famous. And then,
I don't know. You know, to me, when it just comes to these sort of pluck from obscurity, talent competition stuff, like, you know, every time I think about, you know, when we hear about our beloved Barry Bonds and his dad was Bobby Bonds and he was a perennial all-star and his uncle's Reggie Jackson or his goddad's Reggie Jackson or something, it's kind of like, all right, well, that's what he was supposed to be doing, or Hank Aaron, or whoever it is. But that's what he should have been doing. It's no big leap, you know. When I hear about the mom who was a gospel singer, or professional singing coach, or whatever, it's not quite as good as the person whose dad worked in a coal mine. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, hey, Pick Pickler.
Pick Pickler,
Pick
that's what
Pickler.
I say.
Anyway, I'll talk more about American Idol and the people that I don't like later on.
I'll tell you who I don't like is this thief, Randy Jackson, with his dog pound, stealing the legendary bit of Arsenio Hall with his dog pound. But then I thought, well, he's already done it. I wanted a dog pound. I told Bruska, get me a dog pound of my own. All he got me was this stupid fish tank. But so be it. How say you, fish tank?
You're just...
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? It's fine.
Get out of that bathtub.
Wow.
In there.
Wow. So bitter. All right. All right.
I'm Rachel Perry. That is the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA basketball last night. The Kobe's whipped Orlando here in L.A. You know, if the season ended today, both the Clippers and the Kobe's would make the postseason.
Really?
Yes. But if the season ended today, people would probably be outraged. Season ticket holders.
Yeah,
what
sure.
am I going to do with these tickets, you know?
Yeah.
I think we should avoid that whole mess. Right. But I'll tell you, the USA, though, which has done poorly in the Olympics in recent years, they've announced many of the players that will be a part of the USA basketball team. Clips, Elton Brand, Kobe is on the team. Sonics, Rashard Lewis, Luke Ridenour, the Suns, Amari Stoudemire. I think they should get the... You know who they should get is the Suns Gorilla.
Yes.
Who dunks. He's something else.
He's crazy.
This guy flies through the air.
On the mini tramp.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's a major omission, but it's not finalized yet, so we'll see.
He's time the greatest athlete in sports.
He may be. NHL, back after its hiatus. So that some of the players could go over.
Hold on a second.
What?
Let me say this about the Suns gorilla. First off, what's the gorilla have to do with
the
Phoenix Suns?
It's an interesting
question.
And
secondly, it just sounds like a cruel joke for the guy who's going to be the mascot. Like, all right, you're going to be the Phoenix Suns. We're out here in Phoenix where, you know, in the dead of winter, it's 113 degrees. I'm going to be the mascot, Phoenix Suns. What do you want to do? Give me a little sunburn? Put me in some swim trunks or something? No, get in the gorilla outfit. Really? Seems kind of warm. Yeah, get in. Go out in the parking lot. We'll call you when it's time to do the 360 dunk off the trampoline.
What do you mean, guy in costume?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's not...
Dave, this is uncomfortable.
Oh.
Wow, you didn't know?
I just assumed.
No, it's not a real gorilla.
Oh, I mean, well, they put the outfit on him.
Yeah, I think they put that over the gorilla outfit.
Wow.
There's a human being in there.
Oh, this is instructive. All right, listen. Oh,
wow.
Here,
sad.
Back to the NHL. The players are back from
Hold
Torino.
On, are you okay?
I will be.
Okay.
I will be.
I'm sorry.
Last night, the San Jose Sharks dumped the league's best team, Detroit. Best part is, scoring his 35th goal of the season. The best name in the game, Jonathan Chichu.
Chichu.
Chichu did it. How say you, fish tank? That's right.
Wow, they are riled up, that fish tank.
That's
fired
right.
Up, yeah.
And it's time to take the Wonderlic test. Again, this is the NFL version of the IQ test. You know, the big news from the combine this season, this year, which just was going on over in Indianapolis, is that Vince Young, Texas's star QB, scored a 6, reportedly, his first pass at it, and then got a 16. This is...
50 is the highest you
right.
can get.
This is on the level of moron.
Eli Manning got a 39. Drew Bledsoe got a 37. Tom Brady got a 33. Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Rams got a 50. Wow.
Whoa.
Harvard QB.
Yeah, Harvard.
So, that's that.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, so Rainn Wilson from The Office, and you remember him from 6 Feet Under, is going to be in studio. We're going to figure out how to take this test. We may do it over the air. We may do it during a break and then give you the results. We got to figure it out with producer Bruska, but we will get to the bottom of this Wonderlic test. All that after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Rainn Wilson in studio. The Office, name of the show, Thursday nights, 9:30 on NBC. This is a great show. Rainn is a great actor. This is a great country.
You're a great man, Adam.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on the show.
I shook your hand. I was kind of shy like a little schoolgirl. But because you're my hero. I know we're not even to Ask Kiss Rodeo yet, but I just had to say that.
We're getting there. Are you familiar with my work, Rainn?
I am familiar with your work. I was a huge Loveline fan from like way, way back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was on it recently with Dr. Drew, and it felt empty and hollow without you there.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope the studio catches on fire and everyone dies over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, but I wish him the best.
Yes,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
you know, outside of the fire.
I think. Can I just say this?
Mm-hmm.
I think that you're a hero for the ages. Now I know I'm here. I'm on the radio show. I know this is ridiculous, but I just want to say that you are our Will Rogers.
Wow.
Day and age.
Wow. That's great.
Yes. Because he complained about politicians being corrupt, and I coined the term the Behymen. The man, the man's rectum being broken is the Behymen. That's my legacy. Mm-hmm. I want to know when I'm talking to the young gays, has the Behymen been broken yet?
Do you do rope tricks?
No. But if I could, I would lasso your Behymen. And then I would rope it, and I'd do mm-hmm. that time thing where I raise my hand. Time.
Right.
Like we're having a Behymen roping competition.
Mine hasn't been broken yet, Adam.
Well, the morning is young, my friend. Mm-hmm. Very young. Rain is also, now as I look at his credits, Almost Famous and House of a Thousand Corpses. You want to talk about range as an actor?
Yeah.
Galaxy Quest. I remember that. I remember you in that. And now it's all, you know, that's what happens sometimes. You meet people in the flesh. You know them from a TV show that they're working on or a movie they're working on. Then you go over their credits. And as you go down the list of credits, you go, oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He was that guy from, oh, yeah.
I'm one of those oh, yeah guys.
You're the oh, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. now with The Office.
Yeah.
By the way.
I'm a superstar, international superstar.
Well,
huge in Malaysia.
I think his character said Dwight, by the way, in The Office. You probably have the best comedic role on the show.
Oh, okay.
I would say you make all the promos. You know, you're always, yeah. whenever they do the promos, it's always you
right.
in the punchline. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think it's the haircut.
Yeah, it's a mm-hmm. funny haircut.
It is a funny haircut.
How is your hair doing? It still looks weird.
Thanks, Adam.
Well, you know what I mean.
I got one of those heads of hair, you just can't do anything with it. Like, and now that it's starting to thin,
mm-hmm.
it's like kind of curly, but kind of straight. And
yeah.
You can't comb it, and now it's falling out.
But here's the thing. You have funky frames, and you're funny, and you're an actor.
Yeah.
So who cares?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I'm a character guy.
Yeah, if you're selling copier toner or used Pontiacs, you have to have a nice full
right.
head of hair.
Right.
But you're a character, a quirky character
yeah.
actor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll
mm-hmm.
get laid one way or the other.
You're going to have your hair until the day that you die.
I know. I got, you know, the thing is my hair used to be straight, too, when I was a little kid.
Get out.
It was straight when I was a kid, and then it went curly. It's really, if you follow the Brady Bunch... If you follow the Brady Bunch, that's how my hair went. Started off, looked like them in the early seasons where it was straight, and then it started getting weird. And then the middle seasons, they were combing it over and stuff because they didn't know what to do with it because it got mm-hmm. curly midstream and you still think it's straight.
That'd be a good look for you, by the way.
The combing it over?
Yeah.
Let me tell you this, kids. Just bear with me for a second, everyone. Let me just go off on a quick jag here. You kids don't know how lucky you have it because you can wear your hair however you want it. If your hair's falling out, you can shave your head and go to school. If it's curly, you wear it curly, and if it's straight, it's straight. If you want to wear it short, cropped, wear it short. If you want to wear it down your waist, wear it down your waist. When I was in junior high, there was one way to wear it, and that was feathered. You had to look like one of the Cassidy brothers. And when your hair's brillowy and you try to mold it into it, it looked like, really looked like a horseshoe crab. Looked like one of those 2 million old black crabs that wash up on the beach up in New Jersey shoreline. It looked like Darth Vader's helmet. That's basically what my head looked like.
I used to save my money so that I could go to the local hairstylist that would cut it so that I could have the Sean Cassidy look. But my dad would be like, I'm taking you to the barber, the $6 barber.
Yeah.
And if I had to save the additional, like, $15 to go to
Go get it feathered.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to look like Leif Garrett.
Yeah, I did, and I never succeeded.
Adam. I'm sorry, Ray. You need a minute, or...
Yes?
You want to go to break early?
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Okay. All right, see, that's what I like about you. A lot of guys would have said, throw it to break.
Right.
And no, not you.
I'm here. Let's keep going.
You're pushing through.
This next caller.
Come on, this guy's all right. This guy's doing great. How say you, fish tank?
That's Dave's fish tank.
Yeah. Nice. So it makes you feel better?
That's nice.
You're going to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo with us in
Let's
the next break, I believe. But well, hold on. First, Shane wants to play with our own Rachel Perry. Shane?
Yeah?
You want to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo?
Well, no.
Oh, different caller. Oh, you want to chat? I'm sorry.
Hey, what's up? What's going on? What are you doing?
What's going on, Shane?
What are you doing?
What's your question?
I was just wondering, what school did you go to when you in your junior high year?
BCI.
Is this the son from King of the Hill?
It's Bobby Hill.
Is this Bobby Hill? Bobby?
No.
You sure? Say, I love the citrusy taste of Tang.
I love the citrusy taste of Tang.
I thought it was one of those recorded things. You caught him on that. It was good.
Yeah. Hey, Shane?
Yeah?
You want to know who went to what school?
Yeah.
You want to know about Rachel? You want to know about me? Or who do you want to know?
I want to know about you.
What school did I go to?
Yeah.
I went to Walter Reed Junior High in the Valley. That's when I was being made fun of for not looking like one of the Cassidy brothers. And then later on to North Hollywood High.
Yeah.
Where I was again made fun of for, called Brillo Head.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know. I tried to comb my hair down straight. It just looked like a helmet. I didn't know what to do with it. And one day, I walked in. I used to go to the barber, and I'd say, it's all curly. Cut the curls off so it'll sit down. I used to comb it. One of my friend's mothers asked me if I had a vitamin deficiency. What kind of witch would ask a 14-year-old if he has a vitamin deficiency? And by the way, what kind of 14-year-old would have an answer? Yes, I'm lacking in the vital B12. and iron. I'm iron deficient. What the hell do I know, you bitch? I got funky hair. Give me a break. So your son has nice hair. Why do you have to rub it in? Shane?
Yeah?
You're so lucky to live in a day where you can wear your hair however you want it. But let me tell you something. I paved the way for kids like you. I was the Rosa Parks, the Harriet Tubman.
How do you wear your hair, Shane?
Yeah, how do you wear it, Shane?
Well, it's long, and I flip it to the side.
Oh, a lot of attitude.
How old are you?
It's 13.
Oh.
Kind of like the Hansons brothers. Are they still around us?
Yeah,
kids.
Yeah, they're in their 40s, but yeah, they're still around.
Well, it's kind of down, and then I just flip my bangs to the side.
Nice.
Do the ladies, spend a lot of time on that.
Ladies like it?
Yeah, I've gotten 3 girlfriends this year.
Nice.
3 just this year. What bass have you gotten to with them?
What
bass? You know, they still have the bass system?
I spent the night at one of their houses.
The hell kind of parenting is that? What about, how'd your parents let you do that? And what about her parents? I'm going to kill my dad. They really? Who let you spend the night over there?
My mom.
Hmm. Dad's not around?
Well, no, he's usually at work.
Uh-huh. And,
He buys me stuff to make me happy.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, listen. You know, a lot of you kids out there complaining. My dad, daddy tried to buy my love with toys and cars and stuff.
Please,
yeah, yeah. Please, that would have been the best day of my life. Yeah. Come on, Dad. Why don't you try to buy some love for a change?
You don't love me because you're not trying to buy my love.
Yes,
that's my resentment from life.
My love is for hire.
I wish my dad would have tried to buy my love.
Would have been nice. Yeah.
I got Jack.
Yeah, well, you got $6 to get.
I just got loved by my dad. I didn't get stuff.
Yeah, I know. Shane?
Yeah?
Okay. We're going to hang up on you.
Jeez, just be rude.
Okay, buddy. Well, you got to get off to school.
Okay.
What are you in the seventh grade?
Eighth
grade. Hmm. And what do you want to be when you grow up?
Pro dirt bike rider.
Sure.
I got 3 of them.
Smart. Cool. Be
That's
realistic. You have 3 dirt bikes?
Yep.
Oh, and you're talking smack about your dad, and you have 3 motorcycles? Or are they BMX?
They're motorcycles.
Oh, cry me a river, you little puke. I'm sorry, I wanted a goddamn motorcycle my whole effing life.
Adam's having a jealousy
I'm angry.
Over a 13-year-old
I wanted
boy.
One of those Honda XR75s when I was a kid, and I begged for 10 years. I got
His
nothing.
His name is Shane. He has 3 motorcycles, and he's laying down with more women than I am.
Yeah.
The hell with this kid.
He wears his hair sassily flipped to the left. Screw off, buddy.
He can flip his hair. Look at that. He's got everything you want, Adam.
I'm jealous of a 13-year-old from Portland.
Go kick his butt.
That's right. I'm going to find you, buddy. And you know what? I'm gonna shove my foot in your spokes, and you're gonna do an endo, and then what? face not going to be so pretty
Adam,
anymore, is it?
Adam, maybe if you were thinking ahead, maybe if you're thinking ahead and tried to befriend this Shane, he would let you ride one of his motorcycles.
Well, I'd rather kiss Rainn Wilson's ass.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, I would.
And go.
Well, I don't mean figuratively. I mean literally.
Okay.
To move let's over go to there break. And kiss your ass. All right, let's take a break. We'll do a little ass kiss rodeo with Rainn from The Office after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM. Rainn Wilson is here from The Office Thursday nights, 9:30, NBC. He plays Dwight. He's got funny hair, and he does all the commercials. He makes all the commercial spots. He's the funny one. Also has a movie coming out in July.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Wilson, Uma Thurman.
Yeah, big time.
Ooh la la.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
What's that about?
It's called Super Ex-Girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Maybe you've heard about it. And Luke Wilson starts to date Uma Thurman to find out that she's a really neurotic girl and that she's also a superhero. And then when he breaks up with her, she tortures him with her superpowers.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's your part?
I'm Luke Wilson's best friend. I'm like his most unlikely advisor about all things having to do with sex and women.
Wow, that's a good role.
Yeah, it's good. It's really funny.
Where did you shoot it?
In New York. I was actually shooting that while shooting The Office, so I was kind of flying back and forth. I felt really important.
Wow, cool.
I sat in the first class section of the airplane a lot, mm-hmm. and once I sat next to Lionel Richie.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
it's really exciting.
You have arrived, sir.
Yeah.
I was under the impression.
And all of his songs kept running through my head. Oh, yeah. What a feeling. Remember Dancing on the Ceiling?
Yeah. Well, he was singing them out loud. I think that had
oh,
to do
right,
probably
right.
part of it. Is he creepy looking in real life?
You know what? He's actually really handsome. I swear to God, I remember him being creepy from the video with the blind girl.
Yeah,
he's
like touching her face.
Yeah, he's touching her face and teaching her how to be a sculptor.
Super hot blind chick who's sculpting.
Was that,
yeah,
yeah. I think it was Hello.
Maybe it was Hello.
Yeah. Hello. And I remember him like I remember being in high school and being like that guy's freaky. But you know what? He's like a handsome, strapping man.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think he gets a bad rap as being ugly because in our minds we think he looks like that clay thing that the blind lady makes
right.
of him.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ultimately sculpts him.
Yes. It's a hypothesis.
Yeah.
I'll say you fish tank. Thank you.
I just picture him in the Commodore's outfit with the huge fro and the bad mustache.
Right.
As the lightest guy on stage looking weird.
He still has a mustache.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. But I was strangely attracted to him.
I have flown that New York to L.A. route in first class probably 150 times and have not sat next to a model yet. And it was always my impression that when you arrived and you finally got to fly first class coast to coast, that you would just be pinched between two models. Actually, you would actually be sitting between two models' legs. You'd actually be sitting on their lap. I thought that's how it would work. I would sit on, they would say, Mr. Carolla, this is your chair. This is 1A. I would sit down on a model, and then another model would sit on top of me. And that's how we would fly to New York. Mm-hmm. I only sit next to fat Asian businessmen and husky postmenopausal women.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, and never Lionel Richie or a model.
I had a lot of stars, and I sat next to Michael J. Fox and also Billy Crudup.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what do you and then you're a star too and they recognize you.
I am a minor television personality.
Oh, no.
I'm like the Charles Nelson Reilly of this day and age.
Well, that is true. Yeah, no, but he was funny.
Oh, come on.
Okay, no, wait a minute.
Adam,
I was being cruel.
Why?
What I'm saying is you're very recognizable. Uh-huh. I would recognize you in a second if you sat next to me, maybe even over the great Lionel Richie.
Really?
Yeah.
That means a lot to me, Adam.
But if he was wearing the Commodore's outfit, I don't know, I think. Was he wearing that outfit?
He was not, no. He was in a handsome suit. I'm going to get an ascot and a meerschaum pipe, though, as part of my look.
One of those cigarette extenders wouldn't be bad
That's
either.
Good. Sure.
That's a nice look.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gene Rayburn, be your sidekick.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
My most uncomfortable first class experience was sitting next to a guy who was not a model or celebrity. I had no idea who he was, but he would not partake in any of the freebies that come with first class. So it's like you're sitting on the ground and the waitress comes by, or the hostess, or whatever she is, comes by, and it's like, would you like a mimosa, orange juice, or champagne? No, thanks, I'm good. How about a bottle of water? No, I'm all right. All right, so I'm having three or four champagnes.
Sure.
Because that's the whole thing. It's like, man, this ticket is $3,000. I'm getting loaded.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see how much of it I can eat and drink. I want to ingest as much of the extra money as possible.
Sure.
So now you're in the air, and she comes by again. You want the cookie, you want the milk, you want some booze. What kind of cocktail would you like? I'll have six Bloody Marys and leave the bottle, leave the Smirnoff bottle, please. And this guy's like, no, thank you. And she's like, well, how about a water or juice or something? No, thanks. Now we're in the air. Do you want the salmon? Do you want the Salisbury steak? Do you want the brisket? No, thanks. I was going insane by hour number three of this a-hole not getting, just working on his laptop. Wouldn't take a water. And now I couldn't believe, he's like, you want a bag of nuts? Then the cart comes by, was making sundaes. Do you want the chocolate, Mr. Corolla? Do you want the tapioca? Put them all on.
Both.
Put them all on. And as a matter of fact, could you squeeze something into my mouth while you're making the sundae? Go ahead and squeeze the whipped cream. I'm going to do a whip it while you're actually making the sundae. I want to suck the nitrous out of the thing. This guy over here, Mr. Jones? No, thank you. Nothing. I was beside myself. I was loaded and full, but still beside myself. I couldn't take the fact that he would not order a thing. He never took
his
money.
Didn't eat anything.
Didn't take a water. Didn't take the hot napkin.
Not even the hot nuts?
Not even our hot nuts.
Wow.
Nothing.
I was impressed they have like little lobster salads.
Yeah.
I know. I've never been first class.
That's so important.
Yeah. And now Rainn Wilson flying first class. I'm curious to know, because I remember when I first saw you on 6 Feet Under, I remember being you're a curious individual. No offense, but your speech pattern and everything is hypnotic. It's fascinating to listen to.
I should have my own radio show.
Yeah, it's terrific. I'd be curious to know.
97.2.
Oh, and then we'll see what Charles Nelson Reilly.
Yeah, that's how funny it is.
Now go ahead. Yeah.
What were you like as a teenager? I wonder.
I was a total dork.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between dork, dweeb, nerd?
Okay.
And geek.
Okay.
Dork.
Dork.
Dork, dweeb, nerd, and geek.
None of them get laid. So that puts them into that phylum immediately.
So far, I'm there. Go ahead.
Dweeb and geek get good grades and can actually eventually parlay that into something and can sort of buy their way out of geekdom and dweebdom. But dorks are sort of nerds who aren't smart. You know what I mean? They're just they're just goofy guys. They're the guys who think a windbreaker from Santa Anita Racetrack is a good look at school. And oftentimes, dorks have bad skin. Geeks and dweebs aren't necessarily that unattractive, and later on in life, they can clean it up. Now, who's the fourth category?
Dork, nerd, dweeb, geek, yes?
Yeah. Nerd is a guy who's out of time. He's not necessarily a geek or a dweeb. He's a guy
like
who
pocket pen protector.
He would have flourished in the 50s or maybe at some time in the future, but he's not cool at this particular time.
What is Bill Gates?
I think he's a geek. He's a sort of geek nerd. Yeah,
because he's kind of from 1954.
Right.
In a way.
Right. But he can get his grades going and get laid. And
are you
get some
any
money
of those four,
that.
Adam?
No, I don't.
You're a bit of a nerd.
No. Really nerd?
Wow.
Yeah.
Really nerd?
Well, yeah.
America, you should have seen the shock on Adam's face when she said that.
Wow. I like nerds, and it's a compliment as far as I'm concerned. It's like
I would say I got more dork in me than nerd.
You know, I think...
I'm not very smart.
That's the, what do you call that? Like the self... self-deprecating part of you, because dork is kind of like like I'm a dork
nerd.
But nerd, you're smart. You know lots of things about lots of things.
Yeah. All right. I'll go along with that.
I'm a dweek.
Rainn Wilson is here from the office. We need to take a break. I think we should keep him around. What do we got going? We got Ozzy's going to do a movie review. We got to figure this out. Rainn, can you hang with us a little bit?
It's my pleasure.
The Office is Thursday nights, 9:30 on NBC. Also, got the new movie, Super Ex-Girlfriend, coming out over the summer. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Mm-hmm. See Rainn Wilson in from The Office. plays Dwight. Weeby Dwight. Thursday nights, 9:30 on NBC. Wow, a lot of show. Ozzy's waiting in the wings. He's going to do a review of Crash. Rain, you're going to want to check that out because you've not lived till you've heard Ozzy do a movie review. Also, we're going to do some news. We're going to do some sports. We're going to take the Wunderlich test, the sports and the NFL Combine written test. Rain, you had a home improvement question?
Yeah. We have a banister.
Mm-hmm.
There's the second floor in the house, and the banister comes up and is a railing.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to... I don't know. The house was built in 1980, and it has a kind of real 80s feel. And it has like a... The oak banister has a, like a, I don't know, like a gloss on it or something, and we can't decide whether to, like, strip the banister or rip it out and put in a banister that has, like, a farmhouse feel
mm-hmm.
to it. So it's
mm-hmm.
kind of more of a design
yeah.
question.
Well, let me
do you know anything about,
you.
Like, replacing a banister? Yes,
I've built oak banisters.
Really?
They're complicated. They're difficult.
My wife is listening right now, by the way, and she would really like to know about what to do with the banister.
Hold on, you're straight? Rain, you know I'm kidding.
I know.
You know I'm kidding.
I'm not straight.
Okay.
She's my beard.
Dead serious.
She's a he male.
Here's
she
the
male.
Thing. It's those things Filipino. Are very complicated and they're expensive. The code is they got to be 36 inches high and
yeah.
and the little pickets in between can't be wider than 4 mm-hmm. inches apart so a kid can't get his head
right. And I have a year and a half year old gay adopted son.
Right.
So
you and your I life partner adopted.
Yes,
hey,
yes.
I think that's. I think
uh-huh.
you people should. I applaud that.
Tad and I decided. to go Asian.
Smart.
And name him
and name him Charles Nelson.
Charles Nelson Wilson.
Yes, I would say that it would be very expensive and time-consuming and possibly messy to replace that whole system. It's not very old, and it works. I agree that oak is very 80s. Go ahead and strip it down and finish it any way you like. Don't get all faux-y. On my ass.
The little the support things, though, are that fake press wood support thing. What do they call the rails that hold the banister up?
There's the newel post, and yeah. then there's the sort of pickets that are in between the railing. Yeah.
There's the things that go components. Up and down that
yes.
hold the banister
yes.
up.
Yes.
Those are like pressed wood. You can't even strip them because they're
oh, really?
Like,
all right. Here's what I... You know
wood.
What I would do? Here's what I would do. I would hire a scenic painter. A person that comes in and will make it look like anything you want it to look like.
Oh my God,
aged
that's
old
great.
Wood.
Yeah.
Make it look like a new cherry. Give it a dark mahogany stain or a cherry stain. They'll do it all. There'll be no cutting. There'll be no nail pulling. There'll be no screwing.
Uh-huh.
You don't do that anyway.
No.
Except for with your guy pal.
Uh-huh.
And there'll be none of that.
Right.
And it'll cost, you know, they'll charge you $35 an hour, but they'll be done in a day.
That is a great idea.
And for a few $100, you'll have to do it in a beautiful cherry or mahogany finish.
Do you hear that, honey? Hope you're listening.
Thank you. All right. Any more? Are we cool?
I got more. I'll run them by at the break.
Do it off the air, yeah. We'll now go into some news. Oh, wait, real quick before we get into that. This guy's been on hold for a while. Brian?
Yes.
You have a story about farting on a date?
I have a story about farting on a date.
Well, hold on. I was explaining yesterday that all of us who've been out on, and even the lactose intolerant Rachel Perry would probably join us on this.
Oh,
when you go out on a date, especially the first or second date, I don't think there's a human being that's experienced this or not experienced this, where you go out, and first off, there's the nerves of the first date. You know, you get a little nerve gas, as I call it, going to stomachs, a little nervous anticipation. How's it going to go? Does she look good? Does she look like I remember? Does he look good? And then you go out and start with dinner. 7 o'clock, you pick them up, you go out, you eat a little Mexican or some Thai food. You do that. Then it's off to dancing or maybe cocktails. Maybe you go see a movie. By the time you're dropping the person off at 2 a.m. and you're standing on the porch, your stomach has 1,000 kittens in it. I mean, you're going to explode because you haven't broken wind in 7 hours. And you never really think about it. But you probably break wind, on average, every 56 minutes of your waking hour. If you're Jimmy Kimmel, it's every 4 seconds. If you're Cousin Sal, Well, there he goes again. But the point is if you're a normal guy, you break good wind probably every 45 or 50 minutes or something. You go out on one of these dates for 7 hours. You haven't broken wind. Now you're in the hole 6-7 farts, maybe more. And it's stomach. And you got the nerves and you got the food you ate earlier. And so what you do is you can't get out of there. I'm saying one out of every four dates breaks up early just because the guy's got the percolating going down there. It's that kind of thing where there's that threshold like, hey, do you want to come in? Geez, all I want to do is fart at this point. I'm just going to go out my truck. No, I do want to go in. Well, listen, am I going to get at least oral? I'll come in. Oh, I mean, can we promise? Can you promise me something? And if you can't, I'm going out and getting in the car and I'm blowing wind. I think at a certain point, we ought to weave it into the fabric of society. 2 hours into the date, people just agree, look, we're going to go break wind. Go to that end of the restaurant. I'm going over this end of the movie theater. Everybody's going to fart our brains out. And then we'll come back. No harm, no foul.
Fart break.
Yeah. A little fart break. I think we all could have used one on a date or two.
It'd been FB.
Let's take a quick FB.
And it's a little classier.
Rachel, do women get this as well?
No.
But you're lactose intolerant, Rachel.
No.
No. Guys could use it, yes?
Adam, my wife,
Tad,
farts.
Right.
I've heard her, I've been married for 10 years, mm-hmm. and I've heard her fart 6 times.
Right.
But when she does, look out.
Yeah.
I fart hourly.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like a mule.
Well, here's the point. How it never gets to build up the stink. It's just it's ever flowing. It never stops.
Right.
It's a windmill that never stops turning. Mm-hmm. They save up. You're hearing a fart that's 18 months old.
Oh yeah.
Mine smells like sweet alfalfa.
Yeah. Brian?
Yes.
You have a story about this?
Yes. Last night, first date, it was horrible. We went out for drinks after work. And so I got the whole beer thing going, knowing about the date for 2 days. So again, the stomach's brewing, nervous, whole nine yards. About 50 seconds in my car after I dropped her off at her house, I had to roll the windows down. It was that bad.
Yeah. You let the like 10 stager go as you're driving.
The 10 stager, it was horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was horrifying.
But nothing funnier. Nothing funnier than the fart that's really 11 farts put together. And it becomes a fart wagon train that you drag behind. Actually, another thing funnier is the going up the flight of steps fart. If you make it to the top. There's nothing more gratifying than making it to the landing at the top of the stairs.
Exactly.
I was like Rocky up there when I used to live in the house at the stairs. I'm up there punching into the wind. Yeah. Music playing. Neighbors give me the thumbs up. Go Ace! All right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you should take like some Beano or some Gas X or something. Maybe you should take a little of that before.
Can I tell you this story? This is a true thing.
Please.
One time I was driving around with a girl and I suddenly had to pee something awful. Sometimes it just comes over me like a wave. You know, I have no choice but to pee. So I'm driving around and I say, I gotta pee, you know, and I'm looking everywhere on the road. Where can I go? Where can I go? But I'm on Sunset. And so there was really, there weren't any alleyways for me to pull into or anything. So now I'm desperate. Now I'm desperate. Mm-hmm. Now I'm clutching, you know, all my orifices together. You know, they're all tightened up.
Sure.
Now, you know, I'm holding on so tight. So finally I say, I just gotta pee. I'm gonna get in the back seat and pee. And
took the wheel?
No, I pulled over and I'm just gonna pee into an empty water bottle. So now I go to pee and I say, I'm sorry, this has to be. And I get in there and as I relax myself, not only am I now peeing into a bottle, I couldn't stop laughing. It was the funniest thing I'd ever. It was embarrassing, but I was delighted.
It's that's what happens when you got the guy next to you to the right, and he's at the urinal, and the guy to the left, and he's at the urinal, and you're at the airport, and you have to fart like a madman, but you also you also have to whiz like a racehorse, and you're trying to see that very delicate balancing act. If I'm going to see if I can empty my bladder without opening my ass, because there's a guy standing behind me waiting to use this thing.
I always feel like you have a free pass to fart in a restroom. Even if you're at a urinal, I just let them fly. It's not a big deal. I mean,
Do you talk, though? Like, if you do let one go, will you go, yeah, there you go. Some recognition, some commentary that follows, right? That's
no,
right.
I just let them go.
That doesn't happen in the ladies' room. Farting. I mean, if it does, it's the shocking silence. It's not as free in the female world. I think we've been repressed that we're not allowed to fart.
Yeah. But yet,
I feel repressed right now.
Well, let it fly, baby.
I don't actually have to right now.
Next
time I do, I will.
Let your fecal flag fly, okay, my friend. All right, now we were supposed to do some news and some sports, and then we got into ass talk, and now we got Ask Us Rodeo to play. I don't know. What do you want to do? Do Ask Us Rodeo?
Sure.
Let's do Ask Us Rodeo. Let's try that. Celebrity Ask Us Rodeo.
Good luck.
With Rainn Wilson from The Office.
It's Ask Us Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! You know how the game is played, Rainn?
I heard a little bit about it.
Well, maybe we should hear a little clip of the reigning Jeff Probst, who sits atop the Ask Us Mountain. I feel like I need to lose weight. I feel heavy.
You?
Bloated.
Wow. You look lean as a machine.
I love sushi.
Sushi is maybe the best meal out there.
I hate sushi.
And then there are times when sushi goes through you and you think, why'd I just eat it?
So you see how it goes.
I got it.
All right. See if you can beat Jeff.
Good, but he can be beaten.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a beatable number.
And on The Office, you play Ask Kiss Supreme. So
exactly.
Should
be perfect. All right. You ready to go?
Let's go. Bring it on.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! I think Bush is doing a great job in Afghanistan.
Fantastic job. I can't believe how great he's doing. And I'm glad he listened to you about that.
I don't like his world policy. I don't mind his national stuff, but I don't like the international policy.
It doesn't work. He's not listening to the rest of the world, to the other nations. He's not bringing them in.
I'm funnier than Steve Carell.
Absolutely. I know that they were looking at you to play the lead in the show, and they were afraid that you would be too funny in the part, and so they backed off a little bit.
I think I should have been the lead in 40-Year-Old Virgin, too.
Absolutely, and when Steve told me that he based the character on Adam Carolla, I couldn't believe it, but it made total sense.
Whoa.
I don't know. Mike, is it a little convoluted there? What happened?
What happened?
Couldn't believe that they based the character on...
Oh, couldn't believe it.
And also, isn't that an insult? Shoot. Calling you a 40-year-old virgin?
Yeah, that was an attack.
That's a kind of fire. I don't know. That was a tricky one. Wow. I say this. I say he gets another shot. Because he was really out of the gate nicely.
Yeah.
And that was a really, that was a level 5 that you threw at him, right? You know, pretty...
Yeah. I mean, there was a zig and a zag there. I mean, the guy's smart. He plays an ass kisser on television. Mm-hmm.
Up to you.
I throw myself before the mercy of court, King Solomon. I'll tell you what. Wow, that was good. That's good there.
Let's hear some of that when you're playing the game.
Yeah, well, where's that, Rainn?
It makes you more nervous than you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's harder than you think. It's harder than you think.
All right, let's try another round.
Yeehaw! It's Ask Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
6 Feet Under is my favorite show.
It's such a brilliant show. Such a brilliant show. I love that show.
I thought it was overwritten and made exclusively for snobs, though.
But the thing is they would just keep overwriting it in such a way that it just kind of burdened it down. You know, it just kind of bled out. Oh, man. I'm such a failure. Thanks for giving me a second shot.
It's all right. It was our mistake. We shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
It just didn't work.
Maybe you should have done it in character.
that would have worked.
Maybe well, we should hear from the character after.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, we got to move on. Ozzy's been waiting here for almost an hour to do his movie review. We got big celebrities in the green room. Oswaldo Castillo, day laborer Oswaldo Castillo. All right, Rainn Wilson, everybody. The Office, Thursday nights, 9 o'clock.
Thanks, I should Adam. Say,
sorry, 9:30, NBC. I'm a big fan. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Ozzy Castillo, Oswaldo, in studio. He's got a movie review for us. We were talking earlier about the Phoenix Suns gorilla and how there could not be a worse mascot outfit to get into when you live in Phoenix than a gorilla outfit and then jump off a trampoline. Jeff knows the origin of the Phoenix Suns gorilla. Jeff?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, yeah, I was, I heard you talking about that. I thought I'd just clear that up for you. Yeah, somebody actually, there was a fan in the stands who was sent a gorillagram during one of the games back in the late 70s, and, it just sort of caught on. He was hamming it up in front of the crowd. The crowd loved it, and, a week later, he was there in a jersey.
So that's how the Phoenix Suns gorilla got started.
That's how the gorilla came about.
And I'll tell you, he does not get his due. He's doing flips. He's taking off from top of the key. He's hitting the mini tramp, a full sprint, full court, doing a 360 dunks.
He pioneered the mini tramp.
That's right.
He's the man.
I know. It's going on his headstone. He pioneered the mini tramp.
Now, again, it's a man in a costume. It's not the gorilla.
Damashek was heartbroken to realize it was an actual gorilla.
Yeah, well, you know.
That would have been cooler.
Very, very sad. Yeah. Also, he was confused by the Philly fanatic. He kept yelling, shoot that beast. Put it out of its misery.
What planet from whence this thing came?
Yes. This beast who comes sailing in on an ATV.
And it's sad because they've tormented him, and now they make him wear a Phillies hat and root for the local ball club. Strange.
I'm just saying, look, with the Philly fanatic at least, just admit you're fresh out ideas for mascots and wipe the slate clean.
No, here's the twist. They spell fanatic with a PH.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's not how you spell it. Yeah. We've just learned I'm an idiot, and Rachel Perry's nipping at my idiotic heels over here because we just took the Heimlich test. No, Wunderlich. We were talking about that test they take at the NFL Combines every year to figure out the sort of aptitude, the mentality of the players, and some of the most you can get is 50. I guess you get 14 minutes to do 20 questions or do 50 questions or something like that. Bruska figured it out. We just took an abridged version of the test. We had like 9 questions and we were given 2 minutes to take it. The average score is 25, and they have some highlights and some lowlights, like Bledsoe got 37 and Eli Manning got 39. Who allegedly got 6, Shaq?
Vince Young, Texas's QB.
Yeah.
Guy's supposed to be one of the top picks in the draft this year. And now it's in question because he's a dimwit.
Brett Favre got a 22. Yeah. I don't know how high I'm going to go in the draft after taking that test. Shaq did the thing that you hate in all students, which is...
I know.
He's such a puss. I feel bad about it. He took the test.
It's unfair.
It's a timed test. He dug into it, and we had 2 minutes to take the test. I would say a minute and 26 seconds into it, he yelled, done, and threw his arms up, and then stood up and announced, if I got any wrong, I'll be surprised, and stormed out of the room.
I know. I feel like a real jerk.
I feel like a jerk. You're a jerk.
Meanwhile, I couldn't finish the test because I can't read fast enough.
What do we do?
I can't drag my finger that fast. I'll get a blister.
A full 30 seconds to 45 seconds of my time was wasted with Damashek's yelling.
Now I'm realizing, and then Bruska, talk about a slap in the face. It's a 3-page test. He took the middle page and flipped it over the other way and stapled them together. So I had to turn it back and then turn it over again when I got to the third page.
That was
page.
Part of the test to see if you would recognize.
I am telling you, I now realize what goes on. First off, these people who are entering the NFL, sure, they're college grads, or some of them are claimed to be. They don't read well. They don't read well at all. I mean, I would...
Adam, it's read good.
Read good. They're not gooder readers. And when you hear them interviewed, it's obvious that they don't read at a college level just by the words they choose when they're being interviewed. Pluralizing things that don't need to be plural. I'm going to make lots of monies. I've been conversating. Now, I was knocked to my equilibrium in the first quarter. I was able to conversate back onto my feet.
Are you doing your impression of Tom Brady there?
That's me. That's right. The point, I was doing Feely, actually. My point is I don't think these people can read well enough and read fast enough to do a 50-question test in 14 minutes. I know I'm an imbecile, and these guys are dumber than I am. I couldn't get through the 9 in 2 minutes. I got through about 6 or 7 before we ran out of time.
So you don't read well because you speak well English.
Thank you.
So
thank you, your shickness. All right. So speaking of not speaking good English, the Oz Man is here. Mm-hmm. We'll have the results of the test as soon as Brusca tabulates them. Oswaldo Castillo is a good old friend, worked together for many years, decided to be good to have him do a little, what's going on? Is that your phone, Ozzy? Yeah, shut the phone off, would you? Ozzy, when I was telling you your phone was ringing and you're just staring at me with those glassed over eyes, that means your phone's ringing, buddy. All right. Is it the old lady?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, buddy. You ready? You ready to go? I think. What'd you see? The movie. What movie did you see this week?
Crash.
You saw Crash. I think we have a clip of that.
Good morning, Adam.
Hold on a second. We're gonna hear a clip of that. It's Adam, by the way.
Teenage Strangler.
Did you hear something?
The night belongs to death. And the daylight is pierced by the screech of police rubber.
Mike, you got to pick a better one than that. That one sucked. We'll come back. All right. You ready to go now? You saw the movie Crash?
I saw the movie Crash.
You've seen every movie now that's been nominated for Best Film, right?
Yep.
All right. Let's hear the reveal.
I do.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
You got it. The movie I saw is Crash.
Mm-hmm.
The director, Paul Haggis.
Haggis?
Haggis.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Bullock star as Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Dillon is Officer Ryan. The bastard.
Bastard.
Don Cleary.
Who?
Don Shadley.
Who?
Don Shadley.
Don Cheadle?
Yeah.
Cheadle? Okay.
No, wait a minute. I don't know if we can say that. Say it again.
Don Cheadle.
All right.
Cheadle.
Don Cheadle, yeah.
It's Graham, the detective.
Is Graham the detective?
Brendan Fraser is Rick, the fiscal.
Brendan Fraser?
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's a typo.
It's Rick, mm-hmm. The fiscal.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence Howard is Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Crash is a film made over the fantastic city of Los Angeles, California. The film takes you outside the reality and fiction for the people need to make a double face and all that and the normal routine and the simple life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see in the movie Mac Dillon, the bastard officer who had a father with a block and the urine system. You know, I have a club, you know, no, make a piss, you know.
It can't make a pee?
Yeah, you have a problem, you know. Too many sal.
Matt Dillon has a problem. He has a clog in his urethra?
No, the father.
Oh, his father.
Yeah, the father.
Can't make a pee-pee.
Yeah, they make a pee-pee.
Okay.
I don't pay, man.
Okay.
She has a terrible problem. He doesn't miss the occasion.
Damashek made a pee-pee in the back of his girlfriend's car.
Where?
And then blew gas.
What's that?
Yeah.
Simultaneous.
Psychos.
Yeah.
They have a terrible problem, you know. He does miss the occasion to harass the husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the time, you know, make a stop, you know, the lady make something funny, you know, for the guy, you know, for the guy, you know, pass, you know, the hand, you know.
Yeah. Hold on. I've had to build buildings with Ozzy for 15 years. Could you imagine explaining? Ozzy's going on a hardware run. I got to tell him we need some redheads and some screw shields and get the 5/8 OSB tongue and groove 30 floor. Can you imagine how that would go? Imagine just even lunch.
Well, I, you know, I say it pretty much every time, but it really, Ozzy would essentially be a Wookiee in our world if it weren't for you playing Han Solo and translating for him all the time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Wookiee.
I work in factory.
Okay.
In the field, you know, all the stories are connected.
Mm-hmm.
The battle officer, Mac Dillon, and becoming a hero when he saved the woman's life that he was harassing.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled hair from the burning car.
He pulled her hair from the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
The hair.
Oh, it took, the hair was connected to her, so she came too. I got it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
All right.
Sandra Bullock, you know, made a good character in the movie. She played a bitter woman who harasses.
Racism.
Yeah, you know.
No bigger scourge to society than the racism.
The racist.
Think about it. Yeah, she's racist.
Yeah, racist.
Mm-hmm.
She changed, you know, her mind with a Mexican woman held her when she fell down in the stair.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody helped her, you know. I called a lot of friends, you know, and the friend, oh, I need to go to make my hair in the salon. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's the, yeah, the friend, you know, at the time, you know.
Wow.
Was this movie a comedy?
Ozzy's passionate, you know, about this film.
Lot of thing, you know, different thing, you know, comic, you know, written.
Ozzy, if you experienced any racism in this country?
Oh, a lot, man.
You have?
Yeah.
I mean, no, but outside of me, have you had any? I mean, I'm kidding.
Different,
most of the time.
Different, you know.
Really? Really, have you? Have you?
Sweet.
Have you been held back? Do you feel that way?
Oh, God,
do
man.
You feel like there's been some racism?
It's different, man. Different, you know. Here we take more control, you know. In my country, mm-hmm, they make the arrest, you know. It's like a killer you.
For they no kill you.
Nothing, yeah.
Yeah, here we just cross the street and walk on the other side. Yeah, or maybe the cops pull you over a little more often.
So, you know, they cross the one town to the other town.
Yeah. No,
bastard cops.
Yeah, they have real racism where you're from. Yeah. They set you on fire, put a tire around
Remember,
you.
It's Nicaragua.
Nicaragua. Go ahead, Ozzy.
The part of the movie that I like it best, mm-hmm, was when the little kid, you know, got shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the funny
she
part.
She tried to save, you know, the dad, you know, for, mm-hmm, you know, for the dad, you know, make a, you know, lie, you know, mm-hmm, very good lie, you know, say the cave, you know, some, you know, magic, you know,
mm-hmm,
for protect, you know, no bullet, you know, cross the cave.
Right.
This is my best part, you know, I like it. I left this reviewer call.
So you, Crash left this reviewer call?
Yeah, very cold.
Very cold.
You feel like, wow, he's talking about his favorite parts. You just, that blindsides you.
He always ends with his favorite part and then finishes with it left this reviewer called. All right, Ozzy, nice work.
Yeah, thank you, Adam.
Oh, you've been practicing.
Did you return? Yeah, Adam. Did you return my chipping hammer?
I returned the chipping hammer. I cleaned very good, you know. I put oil in the oil system. Mm-hmm. I don't know, in the wire. I don't know.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Make a short circuit the next time.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll have the results of our NFL Wonderlic aptitude test after this. Waldo, nice job. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
For listening to the Adam Carolla Show, call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Ali Leroy is here. He's the Emmy Award-winning executive producer, writer from Everyone Hates Chris.
Everybody, man.
Yeah. Everybody, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Everyone Hates Raymond. Thursday's 8 o'clock on UPN. Right. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, sir.
So, how'd you hook up with Chris Rock during the Chris Rock Show?
Oh, no, man. We, you know, it's like salad days for us, man. We go all the way back to 1986, you know, comedy clubs in New York, Catch a Rising Star, Stand Up New York, comic strip, that stuff.
There seems to be, and I was so stupid because I never hooked up with any of these people, there's this allegiance that people have Letterman has all the guys he came up with on his show. Sometimes you're like, why is Jeff Altman on Letterman for the 128th time in the month of March? Because he knew he was nice to him when they're working at the Comedy Store in 1978. He gave him a ride home once, and that's how this business works. It's exactly. Smart. It's good. I never had that person. I hear about that with Adam Sandler.
I hate to tell you this, but you're that person, and you're surrounded by the people who are going to do well because they met you.
Oh, wait a minute.
That see, still that's how sucks. That works. You're the guy.
Oh, my God. If I could have found a 21-year-old Adam Sandler and just kissed his ass.
See, man, 10 years, Rachel's going to have her own thing. So how'd you meet Adam Carolla?
I did this on my own.
Adam, give me another drink. That sweater looks dynamite on you today.
Thanks. Thank you. See how it works? So,
Kiss Rodeo.
So you came up with Chris Rock. You guys were doing the club scene.
Right.
And he was young, probably in his teens.
Yeah, like, 20, whatever, 21, something like that.
He must have looked like he was 9 when he was 20.
He kind of looks like he's 9 now.
Right. So he must have looked like he was a zygote when he was 19.
A little bit of gray in the beard is like the only thing that tips it off. But, like, he's always looked this young.
It is weird when that, well, actually, you look young, too, and you get a little salt and pepper going.
Oh, yeah, I don't do drugs.
How old are you?
I'm 44, man.
You look good.
I'm a real adult, Jack.
You're in good shape.
I try.
You're solid.
Hey, you know, like I say, you know, you stay off the alcohol, you stay off the crack, you go home at night, you get a little sleep. It does you well.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk it?
And that's you never had a problem with anything.
Nah, you know what? I buy a lot of cameras and I read.
Wow.
That's like my thing, you know. So those are my drugs, man. I'm into this Newsweek thing right now. I don't know what you're talking about. I want to talk about this Ahmadinejad guy. I'm just trying to learn how to pronounce the name of the Iranian president.
Who the hell knew we'd be learning or studying or knowing about any of this stuff?
Ahmadinejad. I just want to be able to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. I just want to be able to say it correctly. It makes me sound smart.
I know. It is amazing. Like when you were growing, you know, if someone stopped you in high school and said, how much do you think you're going to need to know about this region of the world known as the Middle East? You'd be like, that ashtray? Listen, take me all. You want to talk Sweden? Now we can talk, but I don't need to talk about this crap.
Man, you know, we got to do something about these Muslims, man.
I'm telling you, you know what? There's two. I'll tell you what they told us. They told us growing up, here was the lie. They kept telling us you need to learn the metric system.
Right.
I was in the fifth and sixth grade, teacher would do this. Look, there's going to be two types of people. There's going to be the type of people that know the metric system, and then they're going to be the people that are unemployed. That's all the Earth's populace is going to be growing up. Meanwhile, they never mentioned the Middle East.
Never said it. You know, if we could just find one joke that was funny to a Muslim, we would be on our way to peace.
It would be nice, but
no,
I think
Muslim comedy shows.
You know what's so funny about that? I was listening to the radio this morning, and they had, I guess there was a university in California that showed the cartoons.
Right.
And you know, a Muslim person was like, outraged, like, you should understand our culture. And this guy shouts out, you should adopt the American tradition of sense of and get a sense of humor.
Yeah. Someone needs to just tell, look, it could all be settled with two words, lighten up.
Hey, man.
Just lighten up.
That's not working.
Chill pill would work well.
You know, they gave it a shot with the cartoons. It really didn't respond well to that. There's got to be something funny to Muslims. Albert Brooks is on the search for it. I just, you know, hey, I got a Muslim name, man. You know, so I'm searching myself.
I'm wondering. Yeah, is that your real name or did you switch?
No, it's my real name, man. My dad was into like the Nation of Islam when I was a kid. You know, he gave that up somewhere along the way, and you know, I'm Ali. You know, so now, you know, gas stations in New Jersey. So, you're a Muslim?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's like every... I was, hey, assalamu alaikum, everybody.
We were...
Alaikum salam. Just say that. That's always a good start.
I was laughing with someone the other day about, you know, how Cat Stevens changed his name to a Yusuf or whatever.
Right, and then
Cat Stevens, there's a name that doesn't need changing. You know, that is a cool name. And then, of course, Lou Alcindor was a great name who became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And of course, also Cassius Clay. I'm just saying, a lot of folks switching with the Muslim names who don't need any switch. Now, if you're
I want to see a Muslim switch back.
That'd be nice. You could start that trend.
Yeah,
well, you never were.
Well, yeah, I'm like half and half. You know, I'm like straddling.
I'm just saying, if you're a NASCAR legend, Dick Trickle,
right,
that's a guy who should go Muslim.
Right, right, right.
And that'd be great on the NASCAR circuit, yeah, too, the Muslim driver. But there's a guy who should change to a Muslim name. Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul, Cassius Clay.
Can't beat that.
Cat Stevens. These are perfect names. Yeah, they need right. No alteration.
Nothing wrong with those names at all.
Well, let's talk a little Everyone Hates there I go again. Everybody Hates Chris.
It's your proper upbringing that's making you say these things in a contextually proper format.
That's what it is. The Corollas of North Hollywood. Perhaps you've heard of us.
I have heard of you.
You recognize the crest, the cot that's parked next to the dumpster.
Right.
Thursday's 8 o'clock on UPN. Is this show's, tell us about the show, please.
It's a fairly simple little show. You know, it's, one of the executives a long time ago came to me and Chris and they had an idea. Hey, Chris Rock meets the Wonder Years.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it is, you know. It's Chris growing up in Brooklyn in the 80s. A character loosely based on Chris.
Mm,
just so his family won't sue him when we create a character that doesn't portray them in a light that they particularly care for. We can say that it's not really them.
How's the UPN... or UPN, UPS, or whatever, the CW. WB. How's the big merger?
They deliver television shows and packages.
How's that? Yeah, how's that gonna affect you guys, or is it?
Well, I mean, it should be cool for us. We should be on a station now where people can find the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, UPN is on a loosely based, you know, network of affiliates spread across the country. It's kind of like Al-Qaeda cells.
Right.
You know, it's like they're trying to keep television programming from the viewing public.
Yeah.
By being on the CW. It will actually be like, you know, on those first VHF channels, you know, from 2 to 11 in most markets.
When does that start off? When does that officially hit?
As I understand, in the fall, the new CW will be on the air, up and rolling.
Well, we'll look forward to that.
Is Chris in there making pages with you every day?
Dude, he's so there. You know, like, he won't go home.
Oh, really?
He's sitting in the office. He's not, you know, Chris isn't like celebrity guy that, you know, phones in from somewhere halfway across the way. Hey, how's that show going that I got my name on?
Right.
He's like there. He directed an episode this season. He goes over scripts with me every single week. He's too neurotic about his comedy to leave it in the hands of a bunch of strangers.
And what kind of guy is he? Beats his wine, smokes the crack.
Family man. I saw him at the Grove on the weekend with his kids.
He's got the little girls. He carries. Yeah, he's a daddy now.
So he's a good guy, good boss.
Chris is arguably one of the most loyal guys.
What's the worst thing you could say about him?
What's the worst thing I can say about him? That he's so neurotic that he doesn't trust many people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that think they're trying to help him. But
control freak.
Not even that. It's, you know, like when you...
listening to Big Boy right now, so say it.
I wouldn't tell him I'm coming on the air. he's not. It's not really like a control freak. It's just that when you do this one little delicate thing, you know, he'll say jokes. That's all he's good at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to give up the one good thing that I do, the court of public opinion or even a group of strangers sitting in a room in suits saying, here's a good idea. Sometimes they're right.
Yes. He's a micromanager.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people know how involved the people are, whether it's Chris Rock or Martha Stewart or Jimmy Kimmel over at Jimmy Kimmel Live, as Dave and I learned over the years. The people whose name are on the product are very involved with the product. They think they just lend it to the project and then leave and go count the money somewhere.
Here's his quote. We win, I lose. Really? When something goes well and we're all involved with Chris Rock, hey, Ali, you're on the radio, another writer gets a show. If it tanks, the Chris Rock show, Everybody Hates Chris, failed miserably in the race. So, you know, he's kind of right there to feel that way.
All right, and you don't resent him at all. He's just a little bit.
No, not at all. You know what? I've embraced the Garfunkel in this relationship.
Ah, yeah.
You know what? Hey, dude,
I'm like the other guy from Wham. Yeah.
Embrace your second banana status.
Sure.
You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
I wish I had a second banana.
Hey, well, you know, one of these guys is going to step up eventually.
Don't count on it.
No, I meant literally, I wish I had a second banana, you know, downstairs. That way I could have sex and masturbate. That's my dream.
Wouldn't you get distracted from one whilst trying to do the other?
No, I think they would compliment each other nicely.
Second one out on your hip or something like that?
I saw a movie with that in it.
I'm not sure where I'd want it to be. I'd definitely want it to be where I could get to it. I wouldn't be in the small of my back, you know, where I'm reaching around, flailing around.
Most comfortable spot?
I would say sternum.
Sternum?
I put it right here. That way I could, you know, dry sock on it or something. Well, while
your forearm would get kind of worn out.
Though, yeah, it'd be weird. It'd be tough to write,
I
too.
I think you once said that that's actually the prime place to put another vagina as well on a woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't have enough attention in the middle of your chest already. Let's just zero it all in right there.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll put the penis. Oh, I mean, listen.
We'll work guys it out. Who actually think it's there already if you've seen certain films.
Yes, I just rented one of those. Yeah. They got a word for it. It starts with T and it ends with a F. All right. I want to thank Ali Leroy for coming out here and giving us a brief but wonderful and energetic little talk about Everyone Hates Chris.
Hey,
everybody hates Chris.
I hope
Chris.
It's hard out here for a pimp wins the Oscar.
Thursday nights, 8 o'clock, UPN, and then soon to be on the CW.
The CW.
Thank you.
You're welcome, man.
We'll be right back with news and sports and the test results after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Comedian Richard Jenny is waiting in the wings. We'll bring him in a few. Also, the results of our NFL Combine's Wonderlic test. This is the test they use to figure out where the quarterback's heads are. They want to know if the guy's a head case, if he can compete out there, if he can use his mind.
Wonderlic. Great superhero porno movie.
Vince Young, the Texas QB, rumored to get a 6 out of 50. Dan Marino got a 16. Brett Favre got a 22. Cole Pepper got a 21. Alex Smith, 49ers got a 40. Let's see. Eli Manning, 39. Drew Bledsoe, 37. Tom Brady, 33. So you get it. All right. We took ours, and we'll give you the results after the news and sports. First, starting with Rachel Perry.
They found the truck and the money from that $92 million heist that happened in England. I'm sure that you've heard about it.
Anyway. Yeah, they found the money
buried. It was like on a farm. I mean, I don't have all the details. I was looking at the news. I just thought I should tell you.
All right,
because found it near a place that my grandparents used to live. So I'm not ruling them out.
Sure, they're suspects. My grandfather's dead, and he's still on the list of perps. Yeah, sure. That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
President Bush made a surprise trip to Afghanistan this morning to rally the troops.
We want to be here to help Afghanistan grow its democracy and to defeat those who can't stand the thought of freedom.
Can't stand the thought of freedom.
Yeah. Finally an audience dumber than him.
And Saddam Hussein in court says that yeah, he did order the trials of Shiites who were eventually executed and said that their land could be confiscated. So what?
Yeah, can't judge.
But he said that. He's like, it's not criminal. Where's the crime?
Do they have a word for no duh over there? Or is no duh their word for no duh?
Guff. No guff.
No guff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Look, that's, you know, it's a cultural thing. That's what they do over there. Why be the leader of a nation like that if you can't lop off a few heads? That's how you get the gig. That's how you stay in power. That's how they do it.
But
yeah,
he's denying that he determined they should be executed, though. Or is he saying?
No, he's saying he or, yeah, he said.
Oh, it's within my power.
Yes, yeah, he's like, mm-hmm. Well, what's the crime? Yeah, I did it.
Why are you Americans so uptight? Why are you infidels so tight? Uptight. What's up?
So tight.
The good news is that Prez Bush said we're catching Benny Laden at some point soon, right?
No matter what.
Dynamite.
Not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Nipping at his heels.
Just like driving a motorcycle, getting in an accident.
Yep, it's going to happen.
Yep. There's a German company that put out a perfume that smells like vag.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that called?
Wonderlic.
It's called Vulva Original.
Really?
Apparently, you can order it, get it delivered. I say that we order it and do a little scent test and see if we like it, if it works, if you're aroused or not, what happens.
Well, I'm trying to think because it really it runs the gamut that part of the female body. It can go south on you too.
Oh yeah, just ask Bill.
Yeah,
the board op.
Yeah, gay Bill, the board op, the pre-op board op, Bill.
No. I stopped because of a matter of taste, not smell.
Oh really? Well, one would say they're sort of interlinked.
You mean literal taste or figurative? figurative.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Figurative. Okay.
What does that taste like?
They're not making lollipops that taste like it. But
really?
No, but okay, maybe they should.
I'll tell you.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'll tell you what. Oh, yeah, now I've seen it all. I just want to evolve into that old guy. I'll tell you what, takes all kinds of... I bust myself up halfway into my sentence. I'll tell you, I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. I should start cracking up halfway into the thing he says 170 times a day. Really? On the 135th time you say it, you're going to bust yourself up too? I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. Kill you. That guy.
There's a guy in Maine that's auctioning off the back of his neck to the highest bidder as ad space. He'll get a tattoo. He's doing it on eBay.
Oh, I'll tell you. Is it? I know these make the news and their stories and everything, but do they ever? No one ever follows up on them, right? I mean, he's not going to get any bids on this, is he?
Well, apparently, I think there's a 99-cent bid, but it hasn't. There's a minimum.
What's the minimum?
Well, I don't know. I was trying to get on eBay, but my internet connection
Bruska,
went down.
Figure out the minimum, and let's get it. I want to get my name on the back of this guy's neck.
You going to actually put your name, or you want to put something like really dumb?
Well, we could think about it, but I think just my name I'd be happy with.
All right.
Let's get your name tattooed on some part of Tad.
And there's also got to be
much bigger billboard space.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we could just offer Tad some money. I mean, how much is it going to cost?
Yeah,
get a tattoo.
I want to focus on this guy. Find this guy.
We'll just offer him some of that perfume that smells like a lady's unmentionables.
Yes,
he'll take that.
It's called Badge. Thanks. And in Idol news, American Idol, the women competed again last night. The remaining 10. And I was talking about my favorites earlier. Pickler. I like Pickler.
Kelly Pickler.
I also am a fan of Lisa Tucker. She's the little 16-year-old. And then there's another girl who's 17, Paris. I like her as well.
Yeah.
All these kids. I'm going to talk about the people I don't like. Brenna. Got to go.
Now, which
dance
ones?
Dance with me. Dance with me. I'm going to make you dance.
She's the confident one, right?
Yeah, she... I you know, there's confident, and then there's I want to punch you in the face.
Yeah, and she's I want to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I got to respect the fact that she's all sassy and whatever, which is fine. And you know what? I kind of like it, but honestly, no, you've went too far.
These people out there who think they can do no wrong, don't they know that nobody can do no wrong except for me? At least that's what Mo Damashek tells
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Talk to Dave's mom.
Yes, thank you.
I say we douse her in that Vag perfume and set her on fire. That'd be a good way to go.
Douse her in Vag perfume and set her in a room full of gays?
Yeah.
See what happens?
Well, I'm not sure how that would work.
No?
We'll test it out with Bill during the break.
Okay. And Heather Cox, beautiful blonde girl. Mm-hmm. You look at her, you're like, really attractive girl, but... Something about her. No, she's not my American Idol. Let's hear her.
But you know, you really feel old when you watch and you see three or four people sing in a row and you have no idea what songs those are. I don't know half the songs they're singing anymore. Can't they just sing Taking Care of Business or Vehicle by the Ides of Marge? Or do a cheer like Here We Come Trucking In from my Pop Warner football days.
Two bits. Four yeah. bits.
Yeah, about that Melancholy Baby or something like that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I've
what
said
song
it before.
Was that? Does anyone know what song that was? Do
Hero.
We know that song? Was that Hero?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Maybe sings that? Hero.
Oh, Mariah Carey? Well, maybe they just butcher it up so bad like I can't recognize it from the 10 seconds I hear. Yeah, how about Green Eyed Lady?
This was my other favorite contestant from last night.
Yeah.
Kinnick, I think this one was.
Yeah, how about a little Green Eyed Lady, huh?
lady, ocean lady.
You got to see the whole body movement that goes along with it. Ladies going insane.
Something to say, really.
Yeah.
It knows no gender boundaries.
What's
when
that?
You're doing
tank.
It. Yes.
Green-eyed lady.
Fish tank opinion on this?
Well, listen, that's what I was just going to say is that, you know, you talk about who you don't like. I've said it before. I don't like this Randy Jackson stealing Arsenio's bit. So I decided to steal his bit and get a dog pound of my own. Brusca, however, refused to lay out the loot to get me a dog pound. Instead, he just got me this crappy fish tank. But it still works.
Yeah.
I'll make do.
Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA basketball. Last night, the Kobe's whipped Orlando Magic here in L.A. Magic, by the way, have to change their name and put an S at the end of it. It's very confusing to people. More importantly, if the season ended today, both the Clippers and the Kobe's would be in the playoffs. But, of course, if the season ended today, ticket holders would be outraged.
Yeah.
Because they're holding tickets for the last quarter of the season. You know, I think TV people have plans to show these games in the next coming weeks. I say this. I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Please do.
Quite frankly, I don't think they should even open that can of worms.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you disagree, so be it. But I don't think you disagree, Fish Tank.
Yes.
NHL is back. Now that the players have returned from Torino. You know, they were over there playing in these Winter Olympics that nobody watched. Last night, San Jose Sharks dumped the league's best team, the Red Wings. And my favorite part, of course, anytime the Sharks playing, I have a keen eye trained on the ice to see if he does. And he did. Jonathan Chichu.
Chichu.
The best name, perhaps, in all of sports. Scored a goal. Let's hear it for him, Fish Tank.
Chichu.
Did you see Barry Bonds? Yesterday, they were having some fun, the San Francisco Giants. They did their version of American Idol. They made all the rookies get all dolled up. I mean, you know, do some songs.
Right.
For some reason, Barry Bonds got dolled up like a lady. He wanted to look like Paula Abdul.
Really?
Yeah. He's a delight. What a great guy. What a great teammate. Having a laugh at himself.
Well,
here
it's
he
so
is.
Clear the team's teammates love him. They worship him. You see him, he'll hit his 700th home run, and no one will be waiting at home plate for him.
No.
And he'll just do that two fingers. Hey, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
No,
that one was for you, bro.
Exactly. Yeah, never was it more apparent that the man is on the juice than when you saw him dolled up like a lady with veins popping out of his sundress there. But he's not going to apologize for his version of a lady.
What is a lady supposed to be? The one who sits there and drinks tea like this every single day?
No, you're right, Barry. When you're right, you're right. And lastly, in the U.S., the U.S. basketball team has named some of its players. They haven't decided on a final count. But, you know, you've got Elton Brand of the Clips, Kobe, the Sonics, Rashard Lewis, and Luke Ridnour, Suns, Amari Stoudemire. And as we were talking about earlier, an obvious omission, what about the gorilla from the Suns?
Yeah.
This guy's awesome. The dunks. He does somersaults in the air.
Yeah, he really should be playing.
The Lithuanians would be stultified. The Brazilians, what would they do? Look at these Americans flipping out of the gym, literally. All we need is to figure out how to put those mini trampolines on the floor.
I agree.
That's the real trick. Now, I could go on because I would like to talk about, I paid a visit to our Los Angeles Clippers,
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles' favorite pro basketball team, to ask them some questions. We have to get to the Wonderlic results, but I gave them a test of their own. I asked them, what is a Clipper? You would mm-hmm. think they would know this.
Sure.
Surprising results. But that will have to wait until tomorrow.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. Producer Brusca has the results of our bridged Wonderlic test, the NFL Combine sort of SAT test that they all take. Some do better than others. You hear about the sixes. 50 is the highest. Now, Brusca, did you do the math? Yeah. Obviously, we didn't have time to do the whole test. You gave us 2 minutes,
right.
And we did 9 questions.
Correct.
And so someone can still get 49 or something like that, right?
Well, basically, if you got them all right, you projects out to 50.
Projects out to 50.
Yeah, I have all the projection numbers here.
All right.
So you want to hear best to worst?
Yeah, start at the top.
Dave Damashek was not lying. He got them all correct.
Come on, fish tank!
But
then he screwed the rest of us by yelling halfway through the rest of the test.
Not only go 9 for 9, he also finished in about a minute instead of 2 minutes. Quite impressive, I have to say.
Thank you.
I'll be the first to bash him.
Genius. I got to tell you, he finished that test when I was on about the second or third question. He announced he was done, and he announced he was... I couldn't have done... If you gave me 20 minutes to take the test, I probably would have got 7 out of 9. He did it in 65 seconds and got them all right.
Yeah.
Wow. So sad that you've only gotten this far in life.
So that would project out to a 50, which is right up there, obviously.
You hear that, school. NFL? I'm waiting to be had. I've got a rifle attached to my left shoulder to boot.
That's right. Except for he's right-handed.
So that's next coming in, does anyone want to guess who's next coming in?
It was Tad, Rachel, and Corolla. Slim Pickens.
I'm
going to go with Ace.
I didn't even finish the test.
Didn't finish the test. Correct. Adam is next.
I can't miss.
He got 6 out of 9, but I did screw up his test. I flipped it over in the copy machine, so I'm going to give him a half a point. I'll give him a 6.5. That projects out to about a 36, which is not bad if you...
It's a solid D.
We didn't get those right.
I didn't finish the test.
He didn't finish the test.
I got Tad. You're not even smart enough talking to a goddamn mic, you retard.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
So I'm going to give him a 6.5, and it's how many you get correct. So
whatever.
If he doesn't answer a question, he doesn't get it right. So he hurt himself by not finishing.
I could have just. It was multiple choice. I could have just put an X over the last three boxes.
I'm going to give you a test so you know which ones you missed. You missed one, and then you didn't fill in for two.
Thank you.
Dave, who's next?
Wow, we're really down to it now. Tad versus Rachel. Rachel, I hope the birds that live in your vagina helped you out enough that you could beat out Tad.
You're such an a-hole.
A smart one, though.
Well, she's beautiful.
I'm glad you can hang your hat on that.
Tad doesn't have his looks to fall back on. He just has a huge ass.
Look, if I could have had a time to concentrate, then I...
That's the key to the test. It's time. That's why all these people...
Yeah, if I could have had time to concentrate... Shut the hell up, Dave Damashek. No, I can't. I can't concentrate. I mean...
When you finish the test in a minute, you have a right to say something.
No.
Thank you.
Not when other people are trying to concentrate.
The judge has spoken. All right, so...
Look, I passed my driver's test the first time. Did you?
Yes. All right.
In the rear, actually tied.
Tied for third.
Rachel, both tied with 5 correct, which projects out to 28. It's not terrible. Average intelligence. It's ahead of a lot of the quarterbacks, actually.
As we've talked about before, 50 is the highest possible. 21 is average.
Yeah,
14.
I'm a much better guesser than Dave.
Yes.
So they both got 5 out of 9 correct.
Yeah, that's not bad. Eli Manning got a 39.
Yeah, that projects out to 28, Rachel and Ted.
Drew Bledsoe got a 37. Tom Brady, 33.
Marino, I think, got like a 16 or something. So
yeah, Marino got a bad score. Yeah.
They're both brighter than Marino.
And, what a field general I'm going to make.
Who would have thought Ted smarter than Dan Marino?
Yeah. Yeah, well, hasn't translated into the payday, though. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Congratulations to you, Dave Damashek.
Thank you so much.
So impressive.
Done. The rich keep getting richer.
Really, 9 for 9 and done, really, 1 minute and 4 seconds into the test. Amazing. All right. Richard Jenny is going to be in here in a second. Very funny comedian. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
The Ace Man's taking his radio show March 9th out to Las Vegas. They got sexy Rachel Perry and Dave Damashek, the man who's in love with the Steelers. They're hauling big fat Tad out in an elephant trailer. Mike August booked an Elvis impersonator. The Ace Man's going. Vegas. The Ace Man's going to Vegas. The Ace Man's going to Vegas.
Yes, he is. Richard Jenny, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good to see you, Richard.
Nice to be here.
Very quickly, just to finish that business on the Wunderlich test, Shaq going 9 for 9. 50.
Thank you.
Scoring very high.
I'm sharp.
Just very quickly, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, the questions, and some of them are sort of visual, so they're a little hard to get through, but I'll give you an example. of a couple that are just sort of verbal. There's the ninth month of the year is...
Richard?
September?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was coming my way. Sorry, go ahead.
Now these other sort of... It's like, which number in the following group of numbers represents the smallest amount? They have 7, 0.8, 2... 31 and 0.33. Obviously, it's 0.33, or maybe not so obviously. Yeah. And then they have ones like this, which I really have no idea why I got this one right. The hours of daylight and darkness in September are nearest equal to the hours of daylight and darkness in...
I didn't get that at all.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
March is the answer. I got it right, but I'm not exactly sure why. But it's those kinds of... Yeah, that's I got it right, but it is one of those things where the hours of daylight and darkness in September are nearest equal to the hours of daylight and darkness in the. This is a guy who runs a 4.3 40 and was pushed through junior high, so he could basically the guy who had an Escalade bought for him when he was in high school that had the gold package on it is going to answer these questions. Of course not. All right, Damashek. Would be the world's best Jewish quarterback. Richard Jenny, I'm sorry we had to digress.
I was wondering when were we going to get to me?
We are. We are right now.
All right, great.
Richard is going to be
another round of applause.
Performing at the Irvine Improv tomorrow through Sunday. You can get tickets at www.improv.com. Richard, how say you, my friend?
I say it's great to be working. I'll do anything to avoid the Oscars, Adam. That's why I'm working Sunday night.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to sit home and watch them?
I can't. You know what it's going to be. It's going to be Capote, you know.
We'll
probably get a lot of stuff because there'll be, you know, a lot of people in the Academy going, I don't know why, but I relate to them.
Right.
And then you'll have, what's the other? I think probably Walk the Line.
Walk the Line, Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, Walk the Line has got to be... That's got to go somewhere, because I just watched that. Which,
oh, did you?
Yeah, have you seen it? It's kind of like the white Ray. It's like Ray with white people, pretty
oh,
much.
Oh, really?
What's her name? Grease...
Witherspoon.
Grease Tablespoon. She's really good. That was a really great performance, because that was pretty much... It was like Ross Perot, like with a bad dye job. I was like, I'm not doing that. You can't make me do that. Stop drinking, Johnny. She's just hopping up and down, and you're going, that's Oscar worthy.
I read somewhere she's going to get $29 million for
really?
Her next movie,
yeah.
Making her the highest paid female actress. Reese, all 5'3 of her, all B cup and 5'3 of her. $29 million.
How do they come up with $29 million?
Yeah, you're not good enough for 30, but
30.
But $28 million is an insult for 4 months' work.
$29 million. God, wow. I still thought Ray was better because Ray had a very, you know, yeah. Did you have you seen?
I haven't seen anything that's nominated ever.
Well, you know, the Johnny Cash movie is pretty good, but it did not have the. What do you call it? It didn't have the
je ne sais quoi.
It didn't have the je ne sais quoi. It didn't have the central interesting thing about Ray, because all these movies are the same. They're all, you know, well, and then he goes on drugs, and then he cheats on his wife. And you'd like to see one, like, biopic of a musician where the guy goes, you know what? It's really not as important to me to have to go on the road and make lots of money. I'm going to stay here with my wife and my kids. You go, well, that's an interesting story.
Yeah.
But in Ray, it was, you know, the basic issue for me was a blind guy cheating on his wife. How insulting is that? To the wife. What is the wife going? What do I feel like I'm ugly? Do you sense that I have small boobies? What's the problem here?
It is a slap in the face.
That's a huge slap in the face.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. If you're a musician
right.
and you're traveling, you have to cheat. I mean, that's it. That's the code. It transcends the blindness.
Right.
You must cheat if you're on the road and you're a musician. Speaking of cheating, and I don't know if this was the problem, but our first Loveline co-hostess, Chris Magaha.
Oh, what about her?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She'd just broken up with Richard Jenny, I think, when she started the gig. Or better yet, Richard broke up with her.
I don't remember who broke up with who.
She was a beautiful blonde.
Yes, she
did
she
the
was.
First season, a little neurotic probably, the first season of Loveline when it was on MTV.
Yeah.
She was complaining about Richard Jenny the entire season.
What did she say about me?
Oh, she used the a-hole word a few times. Oh,
no kidding.
Said you didn't do well on the... on the Wonderlic test, your port affair.
The Wonderlic
test. Scored a 14 on the Wonderlic test. It was one of these things where, you know, when you catch somebody, and by the way, you know, when you catch somebody and they're just just after a bad or messy breakup.
Right.
They're no good to anybody for 6 months.
Right.
Give them maternity leave or come up with a name for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She was just bummed out and pissed off at you the entire time we did that show. We did 100 episodes. All I remember is she hated Richard Jennings.
She just got jennied.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad you got some. I'm glad you got some shows out of it. First of all,
yeah.
And
now who just dumped who? You must have dumped her.
It was just who dumped who?
The career was kind of going
hard
through
to
the roof.
Say.
You're on the road.
If somebody's
you're blind, you're a musician. You want to make hay while the sun shines.
I'd say it was just she's. If you come home and let me tell you, here's a sign of a bad relationship when you're pulling to your driveway. And you're watching your garage door go up.
Yeah.
And you're going, is her car there? Is her car there? Is her car there? Is her car? Somebody kill me. It would be like that after a while.
Worst is when they're standing in the garage with their hands on their hips waiting for you to hit the opener and come home. That's bad.
Yeah. So she's married now, though. It all
oh,
works. All's well that ends well.
Believe she's still bitter. I know her. You must have done something horrible to her.
I wish I had a good story for you on that, but...
Well, obviously you dumped her.
Obviously, it was like, one of those things where...
Be fun to see if you can still get
married.
Her.
Huh?
Be fun to see if you can still work that out.
Yeah, let's call her right now.
Well, I think even if someone gets married, if you dumped her, it's still unfinished business, and you could still do it.
Exactly.
I think that's kind of how it works with women. I think they have that ego.
I don't know. I think that, basically, if they're married, I don't know how to get that done anyway. It's
when
it comes to women getting, having sex with guys, it's like, it's the way mob guys kill somebody. They got to make it look like an accident. It's
right.
It's going to be like, I don't know how it happened. I was naked. He slid along the linoleum, and then suddenly I was there. So it's, I don't really know how to get that one done. I've never tried to get a married woman.
You're single now, right?
Yeah.
And have you been married?
Never.
Never been married?
Ever.
And are you one of these guys that just announces you're a single guy, a perpetual bachelor, and that's the way you're going to do it?
Well, it's a fool's errand, isn't it? Sooner or later, it's like the porno stops working. See, that's eventually, most guys will give in because you realize that the porno is like every other drug. At the beginning, it seems like the answer. You go,
right.
Oh, this is the answer.
Right.
I got naked chicks, unlimited.
So
I'm done.
August listening?
Yes.
Yeah, it's done. And then 6 months later, you can't let anybody in your house anymore, and you're just like a drug addict. You don't stop until you wind up rock bottom. You wind up in the emergency room with a porno injury going, how did a Pentium 4 processor get in my pee-pee?
When
you quit.
When I put
and
the
then you
foil
realize you get
up.
Married.
When I put the foil up in the window, that's when I knew I had a problem.
When the foil went up and then you're sitting there.
That was a cry for help, my friend said.
The foil.
We were laughing.
Like the Hanson brothers putting on the foil.
We were laughing about interventions for some reason yesterday after the show because we're talking about getting the guy who did the show interventions on this show, and we're laughing that it'd be funny if they had an intervention for this guy to quit intervening. His friends and family all gathered. He came home to his apartment. Listen, Bob, we got to talk. What? These intervention things have gone on. You're lying to yourself. His daughter's written a poem about his interventions.
And they're going to intervene to stop him from intervening.
That's right.
They all
I would
up.
Argue a bigger problem than the booze. You're constant intervening. We got... Don't! No, please! I know you're angry now, but please listen. We want to take you to a barn. Tilt a few. Anything, not to intervene. Anymore.
So you're saying this should be a porno intervention? Have you tried that?
That'd be nice.
Where they just walk in and put down the Astroglide. We love you.
It'd be embarrassing with your folks and family flew in from Michigan. But yes, I think. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Richard Jenny is here. We'll plan his porno intervention.
Do we even mention where I'm working this weekend? I don't know.
Yes, you're going to be at the Irvine Improv tomorrow through Sunday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Portland 101 KUFO.
Flav, and you are listening to the Adam Carolla Show, boy.
Mm-hmm. Richard Jenny in studio. Performing at the Irvine Improv tomorrow through Sunday. One of the 100 greatest stand-ups of all time. He was voted to holds the American Comedy Award for Best Male Stand-Up.
Oh, brother.
Gotta feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know.
Do you have it? Do you have it on display?
In my home, the award itself? Yeah, I have a little case.
I would have it epoxied to the roof of my car.
All right,
people.
Okay, that's where it is.
It's coming. Yes, like a rhino horn on the hood of the car.
It's tied to the mailbox. Yeah, well, you know how that goes.
Richard is again, going to be at the Improv. Not going to be watching the Oscars this weekend.
No. We got a pretty big crowd, actually, on Sunday. I guess there's a lot of people that don't want to watch the Oscars, so...
Well, don't tell that to tomorrow's guest, Jon Stewart.
Ah, Jon Stewart's going to be in the studio or on the on the phone.
He's doing something in between. He's going to be on the phone, but I'll see him through the hall.
Oh, okay.
We'll actually bring him. He doesn't want to come into the studio, but I said a phoner's too impersonal, yeah. Johnny. Give me a break. We have the same agent and everything. So he's going to come in where I can see him through the glass and then just call us on his cell phone. So he'll be doing that. Sarah Silverman will be in here. Peter Guberg's going to be in here, big movie producer. But here's the thing, and I don't know if you feel this way. Like, as a comedian, would you relish, jump at, and be excited over the opportunity of hosting the Oscars?
Do you mean would I? Okay, so if what you're asking me is would I want like tens of millions of people to see me? And no, why would I want that to happen? No,
well,
of course I relish the opportunity to host the Oscars.
Well, like, see,
I'm doing the Irvine Improv.
All right. You may be right, but what I'm saying is every time I think of Jon Stewart, and Jon Stewart's a friend of mine, right. I've known him for a while, and I think, oh my God, he must be a bundle of nerves. There's no way he is going to enjoy himself between now and Sunday until that show ends Sunday night.
You know, it's funny that you should say, because I, you know, Ali LaRoy was in here earlier, and mm-hmm. I worked with him last year on the Academy Awards with Chris Rock,
mm-hmm.
and Chris was like, you know, hey, I'm Chris Rock, and then like a day before, you know, I'm getting really scared now.
Yeah,
because it starts. You know what? That's how you get through a lot of things. Is just don't deal with them. You just don't never acknowledge it and diss it and stuff. And all of a sudden, it kind of sinks in. This is the Academy Awards.
I think he'll be great at it, but I just think if I were him, I would be a bundle of nerves. And meanwhile, we can all look forward to enjoying the Oscars, and he can look forward to crapping his pants when the curtain goes up.
Well, yes, I know what you mean, but I think in his case, you know, he's on television all the time doing jokes that people write for him into a camera. So it's not the same as being a stand-up that's touring around and suddenly you're hosting the Oscars. I think you just get used to it.
Right. And that wasn't a subtle dig that people write for him?
Oh, no, that was a blatant dig.
Blatant dig.
That was a blatant dig.
All right, we got to go. I want to thank Richard Jenny for coming in and digging Dear, Dear Friend.
Thanks
John
for
Stewart.
Tearing up an old wound.
Yeah, Chris McGaugh.
I don't love
Sorry,
field.
Brother. It just came to mind. Irvine Improv tomorrow through Sunday. Jon Stewart tomorrow. Sarah Silverman. Peter Guber in here tomorrow. I want to thank Pat O'Brien from The Insider. Rainn Wilson, The Office, 9:30 NBC. Ali LaRoy for Everybody Hates Chris. Thursday nights, 8 p.m. UPN, and of course, Richard Jenny, Irvine Improv, tomorrow
can
night through Sunday.
Adam, people can also get tickets at my website, richardjenny.com.
Please do, and Big Tad on Tuesday tries out for NBC's The Biggest Loser. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.